Justin, assuredly, it does seem incredible, for it is more horrible than the calf which they made when satisfied with manna on the earth, or than the sacrifice of children to demons, or than the slaying of the prophets. But you appear to me not to have heard the scriptures which I said they had stolen away, for such as have been quoted are more than enough to prove the points in dispute, besides those which are retained by us and shall yet be brought forward. Chapter 74. The beginning of Psalm 96 is attributed to the Father by Trypho, but it refers to Christ by these words, "Tell among the nations that the Lord," etc. Trypho, we know that you quoted these because we asked you, but it does not appear to me that this psalm which you quoted last from the words of David refers to any other than the Father and Maker of the heavens and earth. You, however, asserted that it referred to him who suffered, whom you also are eagerly endeavoring to prove to be Christ. Justin, attend to me, I beseech you, while I speak of the statement which the Holy Spirit gave utterance to in this psalm, and you shall know that I speak not sinfully, and that we are not really bewitched, for so you shall be enabled of yourselves to understand many other statements made by the Holy Spirit. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth, sing unto the Lord, and bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day, his wonderful works among all people. He bids the inhabitants of all the earth, who have known the mystery of this salvation, i.e., the suffering of Christ, by which he saved them, sing and give praises to God, the Father of all things, and recognize that he is to be praised and feared, and that he is the maker of heaven and earth, who effected this salvation on behalf of the human race, who also was crucified and was dead, and who was deemed worthy by him, God, to reign over all the earth. As is clearly seen, also by the land into which he said he would bring your fathers, for he thus speaks. Deuteronomy 31, verses 16 to 18. This people shall go a whoring after other gods, and shall forsake me, and shall break my covenant which I made with them in that day. And I will forsake them, and will turn away my face from them, and they shall be devoured, and many evils and afflictions shall find them out. And they shall say in that day, because the Lord my God is not among us, these misfortunes have found us out. And I shall certainly turn away my face from them in that day, on account of all the evils which they have committed, in that they have turned to other gods. Chapter 75. It is proved that Jesus was the name of God in the book of Exodus. Justin. Moreover, in the book of Exodus we have also perceived that the name of God himself, which he says was not revealed to Abraham or to Jacob, was Jesus, and was declared mysteriously through Moses. Thus it is written, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, say to this people, behold, I send my angel before your face, to keep you in the way, to bring you into the land which I have prepared for you. Give heed to him, and obey him, do not disobey him, for he will not draw back from you, for my name is in him." Exodus 23, verses 20 and 21. Now understand that he who led your fathers into the land is called by this name Jesus, and first called Ossus, Numbers 13, verse 16. Hosea. For if you shall understand this, you shall likewise perceive that the name of him who said to Moses, "For my name is in him," was Jesus. For indeed, he was also called Israel, and Jacob's name was changed to this also. Now Isaiah shows that those prophets who were sent to publish tidings from God are called his angels and apostles. For Isaiah says in a certain place, "Send me," Isaiah 6, verse 8. And that the prophet whose name was changed, Jesus Joshua, was strong and great, is manifest to all. If, then, we know that God revealed himself in so many forms to Abraham and to Jacob and to Moses, how are we at a loss? And do not believe that, according to the will of the Father of all things, it was possible for him to be born man of the Virgin, especially after we have such scriptures, from which it can be clearly seen that he became so, according to the will of the Father? Chapter 76. From other passages, the same majesty and government of Christ are proved. Justin. For when Daniel speaks of one like the Son of Man, who received the everlasting kingdom, does he not hint at this very thing? For he declares that, in saying like the Son of Man, he appeared and was man, but not of human seed. And the same thing he proclaimed in mystery when he speaks of this stone which was cut out without hands. For the expression, it was cut out without hands, signified that it is not a work of man, but a work of the will of the Father and God of all things who brought him forth. And when Isaiah says, who shall declare his generation, he meant that his descent could not be declared. Now no one who is a man of men has a descent that cannot be declared. And when Moses says that he will wash his garments in the blood of the grape, does not this signify what I have now often told you is an obscure prediction, namely, that he had blood but not from men, just as not man but God has begotten the blood of the vine? And when Isaiah calls him the angel of mighty counsel, did he not foretell him to be the teacher of those truths which he did teach when he came to earth? For he alone taught openly those mighty counsels which the Father designed both for all those who have been and shall be well-pleasing to him, and also for those who have rebelled against his will, whether men or angels, when he said, they shall come from the east and from the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. Matthew 8, verse 11. And many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not eaten and drunk and prophesied and cast out demons in your name? And I will say to them, depart from me. Matthew 7, verse 22. Again, in other words, by which he shall condemn those who are unworthy of salvation, he said, depart into outer darkness, which the Father has prepared for Satan and his angels. Matthew 25, verse 41. And again, in other words, he said, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and on scorpions, on scolopendrous, and on all the might of the enemy. And now, we who believe in our Lord Jesus, who was crucified under Pontius Pilate, when we exorcise all demons and evil spirits, have them subjected to us. For if the prophets declared obscurely that Christ would suffer, and thereafter be Lord of all, yet that declaration could not be understood by any man until he himself persuaded the apostles that such statements were expressly related in the Scriptures. For he exclaimed before his crucifixion, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the scribes and Pharisees and be crucified, and on the third day rise again. Luke 9, verse 22. And David predicted that he would be born from the womb before sun and moon, according to the Father's will, and made him known, being Christ, as God strong and to be worshipped. Chapter 77, he returns to explain the prophecy of Isaiah. Trypho, I admit that such and so great arguments are sufficient to persuade one, but I wish you to know that I ask you for the proof which you have frequently proposed to give me. Proceed then to make this plain to us, that we may see how you prove that that passage refers to this Christ of yours, for we assert that the prophecy relates to Hezekiah. Justin, I shall do as you wish. But show me yourselves, first of all, how it is said of Hezekiah, that before he knew how to call father or mother, he received the power of Damascus and the spoils of Samaria in the presence of the king of Assyria. For it will not be conceded to you, as you wish to explain it, that Hezekiah waged war with the inhabitants of Damascus and Samaria in presence of the king of Assyria. For before the child knows how to call father or mother, the prophetic word said, he shall take the power of Damascus and spoils of Samaria in presence of the king of Assyria. For if the spirit of prophecy had not made the statement with an addition, before the child knows how to call father or mother, he shall take the power of Damascus and spoils of Samaria, but had only said, and shall bear a son, and he shall take the power of Damascus and spoils of Samaria, then you might say that God foretold that he would take these things, since he foreknew it. But now the prophecy has stated it with this addition, before the child knows how to call father or mother, he shall take the power of Damascus and spoils of Samaria. And you cannot prove that such a thing ever happened to anyone among the Jews. but we are able to prove that it happened in the case of our Christ. For at the time of his birth, Magi who came from Arabia worshipped him, coming first to Herod, who then was sovereign in your land, and whom the Scripture calls king of Assyria, on account of his ungodly and sinful character. For you know that the Holy Spirit oftentimes announces such events by parables and similitudes, just as he did towards all the people in Jerusalem, frequently saying to them, "Your father is an Amorite, and your mother a Hittite." Ezekiel 16, verse 3. Chapter 78, he proves that this prophecy harmonizes with Christ alone from what is afterwards written. Justin. Now this King Herod, at the time when the Magi came to him from Arabia, and said they knew from a star which appeared in the heavens that a king had been born in your country, and that they had come to worship him, learned from the elders of your people that it was thus written regarding Bethlehem in the prophet, "And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art by no means least among the princes of Judah, for out of you shall go forth the leader who shall feed my people." Micah 5, verse 2. Accordingly, the Magi from Arabia came to Bethlehem and worshipped the child, and presented him with gifts, gold and frankincense, and myrrh, but returned not to Herod, being warned in a revelation after worshipping the child in Bethlehem. And Joseph, the spouse of Mary, who wished at first to put away his betrothed Mary, supposing her to be pregnant by intercourse with a man, i.e., from fornication, was commanded in a vision not to put away his wife. And the angel who appeared to him told him that what is in her womb is of the Holy Ghost. Then he was afraid and did not put her away. But on the occasion of the first census, which was taken in Judea, under Cyrenius, he went up from Nazareth, where he lived, to Bethlehem, to which he belonged, to be enrolled. For his family was of the tribe of Judah, which then inhabited that region. Then, along with Mary, he is ordered to proceed into Egypt and remain there with the child, until another revelation warned them to return into Judea. But when the child was born in Bethlehem, since Joseph could not find a lodging in that village, he took up his quarters in a certain cave near the village. And while they were there, Mary brought forth the Christ and placed him in a manger, and here the Magi who came from Arabia found him. I have repeated to you what Isaiah foretold about the sign which foreshadowed the cave, but for the sake of those who have come with us today, I shall again remind you of the passage. Then I repeated the passage from Isaiah which I have already written, adding that, by means of those words, those who presided over the mysteries of Mithras were stirred up by the devil to say that in a place called among them a cave, they were initiated by him. So Herod, when the Magi from Arabia did not return to him, as he had asked them to do, but had departed by another way to their own country, according to the commands laid on them, and when Joseph, with Mary and the child, had now gone into Egypt, as it was revealed to them to do, as he did not know the child whom the Magi had gone to worship, ordered simply the whole of the children then in Bethlehem to be massacred. And Jeremiah prophesied that this would happen, speaking by the Holy Ghost thus, "A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and much wailing, Rachel weeping for her children, and she would not be comforted, because they are not." Jeremiah 31, verse 15. Therefore, on account of the voice which would be heard from Ramah, i.e., from Arabia, for there is in Arabia at this very time a place called Ramah, wailing would come on the place where Rachel, the wife of Jacob, called Israel, the holy patriarch, has been buried, i.e., on Bethlehem, while the women weep for their own slaughtered children and have no consolation by reason of what has happened to them. For that expression of Isaiah, "He shall take the power of Damascus and spoils of Samaria," foretold that the power of the evil demon that dwelt in Damascus should be overcome by Christ as soon as he was born, and this is proved to have happened. For the Magi, who were held in bondage for the commission of all evil deeds through the power of that demon, by coming to worship Christ, shows that they have revolted from that dominion which held them captive. And this dominion, the Scripture has showed us to reside in Damascus. Moreover, that sinful and unjust power is termed well in parable Samaria. And none of you can deny that Damascus was and is in the region of Arabia, although now it belongs to what is called Syrophoenicia. Hence it would be becoming for you, sirs, to learn what you have not perceived from those who have received grace from God, namely from us Christians, and not to strive in every way to maintain your own doctrines, dishonoring those of God. Therefore, also this grace has been transferred to us, as Isaiah says, speaking to the following effect: "This people draws near to me, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they worship me, teaching the commands and doctrines of men. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to remove this people, and I shall remove them, and I shall take away the wisdom of their wise men, and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent men." Isaiah 29, verses 13 and 14. Chapter 79. He proves against Trypho that the wicked angels have revolted from God. Trypho, who was somewhat angry, but respected the scriptures, as was manifest from his countenance, said to me, "Trypho, the utterances of God are holy, but your expositions are mere contrivances, as is plain from what has been explained by you, nay, even blasphemies, for you assert that angels sinned and revolted from God." And I, wishing to get him to listen to me, answered in milder tones, thus: "Justin, I admire, sir, this piety of yours, and I pray that you may entertain the same disposition towards him to whom angels are recorded to minister, as Daniel says. For one like the Son of Man is led to the Ancient of Days, and every kingdom is given to him for ever and ever. But that you may know, sir, that it is not our audacity which has induced us to adopt this exposition, which you reprehend, I shall give you evidence from Isaiah himself, for he affirms that evil angels have dwelt and do dwell in Tanis, in Egypt. These are his words: Woe to the rebellious children! Thus says the Lord, you have taken counsel, but not through me, and made agreements, but not through my spirit, to add sins to sins, who have sinned in going down to Egypt, but they have not inquired at me, that they may be assisted by Pharaoh, and be covered with the shadow of the Egyptians. For the shadow of Pharaoh shall be a disgrace to you, and a reproach to those who trust in the Egyptians, for the princes in Tanis are evil angels. In vain will they labor for a people which will not profit them by assistance, but will be for a disgrace and a reproach to them." Isaiah 30, verses 1 to 5. And further, Zechariah tells, as you yourself have related, that the devil stood on the right hand of Joshua the priest to resist him, and the Lord said, "The Lord, who has taken Jerusalem, rebuke you." Zechariah 3, verse 1. And again, it is written in Job 1 verse 6, as you said yourself, how that the angels came to stand before the Lord and the devil came with them. And we have it recorded by Moses in the beginning of Genesis that the serpent beguiled Eve and was cursed. And we know that in Egypt there were magicians who emulated the mighty power displayed by God through the faithful servant Moses. And you are aware that David said, "The gods of the nations are demons." Chapter 80. The opinion of Justin with regard to the reign of 1,000 years. Several Catholics reject it. Trypho, I remark to you, sir, that you are very anxious to be safe in all respects, since you cling to the Scriptures. But tell me, do you really admit that this place, Jerusalem, shall be rebuilt? And do you expect your people to be gathered together and made joyful with Christ and the patriarchs, and the prophets, both the men of our nation, and other proselytes who joined them before your Christ came? Or have you given way and admitted this in order to have the appearance of worsting us in the controversies? Justin, I am not so miserable a fellow, Trypho, as to say one thing and think another. I admitted to you formerly that I and many others are of this opinion, and believe that such will take place, as you assuredly are aware. But on the other hand, I signified to you that many who belong to the pure and pious faith and are true Christians think otherwise. Moreover, I pointed out to you that some who are called Christians but are godless, impious heretics teach doctrines that are in every way blasphemous, atheistical, and foolish. But that you may know that I do not say this before you alone, I shall draw up a statement, so far as I can, of all the arguments which have passed between us, in which I shall record myself as admitting the very same things which I admit to you. For I choose to follow not men or men's doctrines, but God and the doctrines delivered by him. For if you have fallen in with some who are called Christians, but who do not admit this truth, and venture to blaspheme the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, who say there is no resurrection of the dead, and that their souls, when they die, are taken to heaven, do not imagine that they are Christians, even as one, if he would rightly consider it, would not admit that the Sadducees, or similar sects of Genistae, Maristae, Galileans, Hellenists, Pharisees, Baptists, are Jews, do not hear me impatiently when I tell you what I think, but are only called Jews and children of Abraham, worshipping God with the lips as God himself declared, but the heart was far from him. But I and others who are right-minded Christians on all points are assured that there will be a resurrection of the dead and 1,000 years in Jerusalem, which will then be built, adorned, and enlarged, as the prophets Ezekiel and Isaiah and others declare. Chapter 81. He endeavors to prove this opinion from Isaiah and the Apocalypse. Justin. For Isaiah spoke thus concerning this space of 1,000 years, for there shall be the new heaven and the new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come into their heart, but they shall find joy and gladness in it, which things I create. For behold, I make Jerusalem a rejoicing, and my people a joy, and I shall rejoice over Jerusalem and be glad over my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, or the voice of crying, and there shall be no more there a person of immature years, or an old man who shall not fulfill his days. For the young man shall be 100 years old, but the sinner who dies 100 years old, he shall be accursed. And they shall build houses, and shall themselves inhabit them. And they shall plant vines, and shall themselves eat the produce of them, and drink the wine. They shall not build, and others inhabit. They shall not plant, and others eat. For according to the days of the tree of life shall be the days of my people, the works of their toil shall abound. Mine elect shall not toil fruitlessly, or beget children to be cursed, for they shall be a seed righteous and blessed by the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass, that before they call I will hear, while they are still speaking I shall say, What is it? Then shall the wolves and the lambs feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, but the serpent shall eat earth as bread. They shall not hurt or maltreat each other on the holy mountain, says the Lord. Now we have understood that the expression used among these words, according to the days of the tree of life, shall be the days of my people. The works of their toil shall abound, obscurely predicts 1,000 years. For as Adam was told that in the day he ate of the tree he would die, we know that he did not complete 1,000 years. We have perceived, moreover, that the expression, the day of the Lord is as 1,000 years, is connected with this subject. And a further, there was a certain man with us whose name was John, one of the apostles of Christ, who prophesied, by a revelation that was made to him, that those who believed in our Christ would dwell 1,000 years in Jerusalem. And that thereafter, the general, and, in short, the eternal resurrection and judgment of all men would likewise take place. Just as our Lord also said, They shall neither marry nor be given in marriage, but shall be equal to the angels, the children of the God of the resurrection. Luke 20, verse 35. Chapter 82. The prophetical gifts of the Jews were transferred to the Christians. Justin. For the prophetical gifts remain with us even to the present time. And hence you ought to understand that the gifts formerly among your nation have been transferred to us. And just as there were false prophets contemporaneous with your holy prophets, so are there now many false teachers among us, of whom our Lord forewarned us to beware, so that in no respect are we deficient, since we know that he foreknew all that would happen to us after his resurrection from the dead and ascension to heaven. For he said we would be put to death and hated for his name's sake, and that many false prophets and false Christs would appear in his name and deceive many. And so has it come about. For many have taught godless, blasphemous, and unholy doctrines, forging them in his name, have taught too, and even yet are teaching, those things which proceed from the unclean spirit of the devil and which were put into their hearts. Therefore, we are most anxious that you be persuaded not to be misled by such persons, since we know that everyone who can speak the truth and yet speaks it not shall be judged by God, as God testified by Ezekiel, when he said, I have made you a watchman to the house of Judah. If the sinner sin, and you warn him not, he himself shall die in his sin, but his blood will I require at your hand. But if you warn him, you shall be innocent. And on this account we are, through fear, very earnest in desiring to converse with men, according to the Scriptures, but not from love of money, or of glory, or of pleasure. For no man can convict us of any of these vices. No more do we wish to live like the rulers of your people, whom God reproaches when he says, Your rulers are companions of thieves, lovers of bribes, followers of the rewards. Isaiah 1, verse 23. Now, if you know certain among us to be of this sort, do not for their sakes blaspheme the Scriptures and Christ, and do not assiduously strive to give falsified interpretations. Chapter 83. It is proved that the psalm, The Lord said to my Lord, etc., does not suit Hezekiah. Justin. For your teachers have ventured to refer the passage, The Lord says to my Lord, Sit at my right hand, till I make your enemies your footstool, to Hezekiah, as if he were requested to sit on the right side of the temple, when the king of Assyria sent to him and threatened him, and he was told by Isaiah not to be afraid. Now we know and admit that what Isaiah said took place, that the king of Assyria desisted from waging war against Jerusalem in Hezekiah's days, and the angel of the Lord slew about 185,000 of the host of the Assyrians. But it is manifest that the psalm does not refer to him. For thus it is written, The Lord says to my Lord, Sit at my right hand, till I make your enemies your footstool. He shall send forth a rod of power over Jerusalem, and it shall rule in the midst of your enemies. In the splendor of the saints before the morning star have I begotten you. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. You are a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Who does not admit, then, that Hezekiah is no priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek? And who does not know that he is not the Redeemer of Jerusalem? And who does not know that he neither sent a rod of power into Jerusalem, nor ruled in the midst of his enemies, but that it was God who averted from him the enemies after he mourned and was afflicted? But our Jesus, who has not yet come in glory, has sent into Jerusalem a rod of power, namely, the word of calling and repentance, meant for all nations over which demons held sway. As David says, the gods of the nations are demons. And his strong word has prevailed on many to forsake the demons whom they used to serve, and by means of it, to believe in the Almighty God, because the gods of the nations are demons. And we mentioned formerly that the statement, In the splendor of the saints before the morning star have I begotten you from the womb, is made to Christ. Chapter 84. That prophecy, Behold, a virgin, etc., suits Christ alone. Justin. Moreover, the prophecy, Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, was uttered respecting him. For if he to whom Isaiah referred was not to be begotten of a virgin, of whom did the Holy Spirit declare, Behold, the Lord himself shall give us a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. For if he also were to be begotten of sexual intercourse, like all other firstborn sons, why did God say that he would give a sign which is not common to all the firstborn sons, but that which is truly a sign, and which was to be made trustworthy to mankind, namely, that the first begotten of all creation should become incarnate by the virgin's womb and be a child? This he anticipated by the spirit of prophecy, and predicted it, as I have repeated to you, in various ways, in order that, when the event should take place, it might be known as the operation of the power and will of the Maker of all things, just as Eve was made from one of Adam's ribs, and as all living beings were created in the beginning by the Word of God. But you in these matters venture to pervert the expositions which your elders that were with Ptolemy king of Egypt gave forth, since you assert that the Scripture is not so as they have expounded it, but says, Behold, the young woman shall conceive, as if great events were to be inferred if a woman should beget from sexual intercourse, which indeed all young women, with the exception of the barren, do. But even these God, if he wills, is able to cause to bear. For Samuel's mother, who was barren, brought forth by the will of God, and so also the wife of the holy patriarch Abraham, and Elizabeth, who bore John the Baptist, and other such, so that you must not suppose that it is impossible for God to do anything he wills. And especially when it was predicted that this would take place, do not venture to pervert or misinterpret the prophecies, since you will injure yourselves alone and will not harm God. Chapter 85. He proves that Christ is the Lord of hosts from Psalm 24 and from his authority over demons. Justin. Moreover, some of you venture to expound the prophecy which runs, "Lift up your gates, you rulers, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, that the King of glory may enter," as if it referred likewise to Hezekiah, and others of you expounded of Solomon. But neither to the latter nor to the former, nor in short to any of your kings, can it be proved to have reference, but to this our Christ alone, who appeared without comeliness and inglorious, as Isaiah and David and all the scriptures said, who is the Lord of hosts by the will of the Father who conferred on him the dignity, who also rose from the dead and ascended to heaven, as the psalm and the other scriptures manifested when they announced him to be Lord of hosts. And of this you may, if you will, easily be persuaded by the occurrences which take place before your eyes. For every demon, when exercised in the name of this very Son of God, who is the firstborn of every creature, who became man by the Virgin, who suffered and was crucified under Pontius Pilate by your nation, who died, who rose from the dead, and ascended into heaven, is overcome and subdued. But though you exercise any demon in the name of any of those who were among you, either kings or righteous men or prophets or patriarchs, it will not be subject to you. But if any of you exercise it in the name of the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob, it will perhaps be subject to you. Now assuredly your exorcists, I have said, make use of craft when they exercise, even as the Gentiles do, and employ fumigations and incantations, but that they are angels and powers whom the word of prophecy by David commands to lift up the gates, that he who rose from the dead, Jesus Christ, the Lord of hosts, according to the will of the Father, might enter, the word of David has likewise showed, which I shall again recall to your attention for the sake of those who were not with us yesterday, for whose benefit, moreover, I sum up many things I said yesterday. And now, if I say this to you, although I have repeated it many times, I know that it is not absurd so to do, for it is a ridiculous thing to see the sun and the moon and the other stars continually keeping the same course and bringing round the different seasons, and to see the computer who may be asked how many are twice two, because he has frequently said that they are four, not ceasing to say again that they are four, and equally so other things which are confidently admitted to be continually mentioned and admitted in like manner, yet that he who founds his discourse on the prophetic scriptures should leave them and abstain from constantly referring to the same scriptures, because it is thought he can bring forth something better than scripture. The passage, then, by which I proved that God reveals that there are both angels and hosts in heaven is this: "Praise the Lord from the heavens, praise him in the highest, praise him all his angels, praise him all his hosts." Manasseh, one of those who had come with them on the second day. "We are greatly pleased that you undertake to repeat the same things on our account." Justin. "Listen, my friends, to the scripture which induces me to act thus. Jesus commanded us to love even our enemies, as was predicted by Isaiah in many passages, in which also is contained the mystery of our own regeneration, as well, in fact, as the regeneration of all who expect that Christ will appear in Jerusalem, and by their works endeavor earnestly to please him. These are the words spoken by Isaiah: 'Hear the word of the Lord, you that tremble at his word. Say, our brethren, to them that hate you and detest you, that the name of the Lord has been glorified, he has appeared to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. a voice of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord who renders recompense to the proud. Before she that travailed brought forth, and before the pains of labor came, she brought forth a male child. Who has heard such a thing? And who has seen such a thing? Has the earth brought forth in one day? And has she produced a nation at once? For Zion has travailed and borne her children, but I have given such an expectation even to her that does not bring forth, said the Lord. Behold, I have made her that begets, and her that is barren, says the Lord. Rejoice, O Jerusalem, and hold a joyous assembly, all you that love her. Be glad, all you that mourn for her, that you may nurse and be filled with the breast of her consolation, that having sucked you may be delighted with the entrance of his glory. Isaiah 66, verses 5 to 11. Chapter 86. There are various figures in the Old Testament of the wood of the cross by which Christ reigned. Justin. Hear then how this man, of whom the Scriptures declare that he will come again in glory after his crucifixion, was symbolized both by the tree of life, which was said to have been planted in paradise, and by those events which should happen to all the just. Moses was sent with a rod to effect the redemption of the people, and with this in his hands at the head of the people, he divided the sea. By this he saw the water gushing out of the rock, and when he cast a tree into the waters of Marah, which were bitter, he made them sweet. Jacob, by putting rods into the water troughs, caused the sheep of his uncle to conceive, so that he should obtain their young. With his rod, the same Jacob boasts that he had crossed the river. He said he had seen a ladder, and the Scripture has declared that God stood above it, but that this was not the Father, we have proved from the Scriptures. And Jacob, having poured oil on a stone in the same place, is testified to by the very God who appeared to him, that he had anointed a pillar to the God who appeared to him, and that the stone symbolically proclaimed Christ, we have also proved by many Scriptures, and that the ointment, whether it was of oil or of stacte, or of any other compounded sweet balsams, had reference to him, we have also proved, inasmuch as the word says, Therefore God, even your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. For indeed all kings and anointed persons obtained from him their share in the names of kings and anointed, just as he himself received from the Father the titles of king and Christ and priest and angel and such like other titles which he bears or did bear. Aaron's rod, which blossomed, declared him to be the high priest. Isaiah prophesied that a rod would come forth from the root of Jesse, and this was Christ. And David says that the righteous man is like the tree that is planted by the channels of waters, which should yield its fruit in its season, and whose leaf should not fade. Again, the righteous is said to flourish like the palm tree. God appeared from a tree to Abraham, as it is written, near the oak in Mamre. The people found 70 willows and 12 springs after crossing the Jordan. David affirms that God comforted him with a rod and staff. Elisha, by casting a stick into the river Jordan, recovered the iron part of the axe with which the sons of the prophets had gone to cut down trees to build the house in which they wished to read and study the law and commandments of God, even as our Christ, by being crucified on the tree and by purifying us with water, has redeemed us, though plunged in the direst offenses which we have committed, and has made us a house of prayer and adoration. Moreover, it was a rod that pointed out Judah to be the father of Tamar's sons by a great mystery. Chapter 87. Trypho maintains in objection these words, and shall rest on him, etc. They are explained by Justin. Trypho. Do not now suppose that I am endeavoring, by asking what I do ask, to overturn the statements you have made, but I wish to receive information respecting those very points about which I now inquire. Tell me, then, how, when the Scripture asserts by Isaiah, there shall come forth a rod from the root of Jesse, and a flower shall grow up from the root of Jesse, and the Spirit of God shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and piety, and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord shall fill him. Now you admitted to me that this referred to Christ, and you maintain him to be pre-existent God, and having become incarnate by God's will, to be born man by the Virgin. How he can be demonstrated to have been pre-existent, who is filled with the powers of the Holy Ghost, which the scripture by Isaiah enumerates, as if he were in lack of them? Justin, you have inquired most discreetly and most prudently, for truly there does seem to be a difficulty. But listen to what I say, that you may perceive the reason of this also. The scripture says that these enumerated powers of the Spirit have come on him, not because he stood in need of them, but because they would rest in him, i.e., would find their accomplishment in him, so that there would be no more prophets in your nation after the ancient custom, and this fact you plainly perceive. For after him no prophet has arisen among you. Now, that you may know that your prophets, each receiving some one or two powers from God, did and spoke the things which we have learned from the Scriptures, attend to the following remarks of mine. Solomon possessed the spirit of wisdom, Daniel that of understanding and counsel, Moses that of might and piety, Elijah that of fear, and Isaiah that of knowledge, and so with the others, each possessed one power or one joined alternately with another, also Jeremiah and the 12 prophets, and David, and in short, the rest who existed among you. Accordingly, he rested, ceased, when he came, after whom, in the times of this dispensation wrought out by him among men, it was requisite that such gifts should cease from you, and having received their rest in him, should again, as had been predicted, become gifts which, from the grace of his Spirit's power, he imparts to those who believe in him, according as he deems each man worthy thereof. I have already said, and do again say, that it had been prophesied that this would be done by him after his ascension to heaven. It is accordingly said, he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, he gave gifts unto the sons of men. And again, in another prophecy it is said, and it shall come to pass after this, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and on my servants, and on my handmaids, and they shall prophesy. Chapter 88. Christ has not received the Holy Spirit on account of poverty. Justin. Now, it is possible to see among us women and men who possess gifts of the Spirit of God, so that it was prophesied that the powers enumerated by Isaiah would come upon him, not because he needed power, but because these would not continue after him. And let this be a proof to you, namely, what I told you was done by the Magi from Arabia, who as soon as the child was born came to worship him, for even at his birth he was in possession of his power. And as he grew up like all other men, by using the fitting means, he assigned its own requirements to each development, and was sustained by all kinds of nourishment, and waited for 30 years, more or less, until John appeared before him as the herald of his approach, and preceded him in the way of baptism, as I have already shown. And then, when Jesus had gone to the river Jordan, where John was baptizing, and when he had stepped into the water, a fire was kindled in the Jordan, and when he came out of the water, the Holy Ghost lighted on him like a dove, as the apostles of this very Christ of ours wrote. Now, we know that he did not go to the river because he stood in need of baptism or of the descent of the Spirit like a dove, even as he submitted to be born and to be crucified, not because he needed such things, but because of the human race, which from Adam had fallen under the power of death and the guile of the serpent, and each one of which had committed personal transgression. For God, wishing both angels and men who were endowed with free will and at their own disposal, to do whatever he had strengthened each to do, made them so, that if they chose the things acceptable to himself, he would keep them free from death and from punishment, but that if they did evil, he would punish each as he sees fit. For it was not his entrance into Jerusalem sitting on an ass, which we have showed was prophesied, that empowered him to be Christ, but it furnished men with a proof that he is the Christ, just as it was necessary in the time of John that men have proof, that they might know who is Christ. For when John remained by the Jordan and preached the baptism of repentance, wearing only a leathern girdle and a vesture made of camel's hair, eating nothing but locusts and wild honey, men supposed him to be Christ, but he cried to them, I am not the Christ, but the voice of one crying, for he that is stronger than I shall come, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. Isaiah 1, verse 27. And when Jesus came to the Jordan, he was considered to be the son of Joseph the carpenter, and he appeared without comeliness, as the scriptures declared, and he was deemed a carpenter. For he was in the habit of working as a carpenter when among men, making plows and yokes, by which he taught the symbols of righteousness and an active life. But then the Holy Ghost, and for man's sake, as I formerly stated, lighted on him in the form of a dove, and there came at the same instant from the heavens a voice, which was uttered also by David when he spoke, personating Christ, what the Father would say to him, "You are my Son. This day have I begotten you," the Father saying that his generation would take place for men at the time when they would become acquainted with him, "You are my Son. This day have I begotten you." Chapter 89. The cross alone is offensive to Trypho on account of the curse, yet it proves that Jesus is Christ. Trypho, be assured that all our nation waits for Christ, and we admit that all the scriptures which you have quoted refer to him. Moreover, I do also admit that the name of Jesus, by which the son of Nave, Nun, was called, has inclined me very strongly to adopt this view. But whether Christ should be so shamefully crucified, this we are in doubt about. For whosoever is crucified is set in the law to be accursed, so that I am exceedingly incredulous on this point. It is quite clear, indeed, that the Scriptures announce that Christ had to suffer. But we wish to learn, if you can prove it to us, whether it was by the suffering cursed in the law. Justin, if Christ was not to suffer, and the prophets had not foretold that he would be led to death on account of the sins of the people, and be dishonored and scourged, and reckoned among the transgressors, and as a sheep be led to the slaughter, whose generation, the prophet says, no man can declare, then you would have good cause to wonder. But if these are to be characteristic of him, and mark him out to all, how is it possible for us to do anything else than believe in him most confidently? And will not as many as have understood the writings of the prophets, whenever they hear merely that he was crucified, say that this is he and no other? Chapter 90. The stretched out hands of Moses signified beforehand the cross. Trypho. Bring us on then by the scriptures, that we may also be persuaded by you. For we know that he should suffer and be led as a sheep, but prove to us whether he must be crucified and die so disgracefully and so dishonorably, by the death cursed in the law, for we cannot bring ourselves even to think of this. Justin, you know that what the prophets said and did they veiled by parables and types, as you admitted to us, so that it was not easy for all to understand the most of what they said, since they concealed the truth by these means, that those who are eager to find out and learn it might do so with much labor. Trypho's group, we admitted this. Justin, listen, therefore, to what follows. For Moses first exhibited this seeming curse of Christ's by the signs which he made. Trypho, of what signs do you speak? Justin, when the people waged war with Amalek, and the son of Nave, Nun, by name Jesus, Joshua, led the fight, Moses himself prayed to God, stretching out both hands, and Hur with Aaron supported them during the whole day, so that they might not hang down when he got wearied. For if he gave up any part of this sign, which was an imitation of the cross, the people were beaten, as is recorded in the writings of Moses. But if he remained in this form, Amalek was proportionally defeated, and he who prevailed, prevailed by the cross. For it was not because Moses so prayed that the people were stronger, but because, while one who bore the name of Jesus, Joshua, was in the forefront of the battle, he himself made the sign of the cross. For who of you knows not that the prayer of one who accompanies it with lamentation and tears, with the body prostrate or with bended knees, propitiates God most of all? But in such a manner neither he nor any other one, while sitting on a stone, prayed, nor even the stone symbolized Christ, as I have shown. Chapter 91. The cross was foretold in the blessings of Joseph and in the serpent that was lifted up. Justin, and God by Moses shows in another way the force of the mystery of the cross, when he said in the blessing wherewith Joseph was blessed, "From the blessing of the Lord is his land, for the seasons of heaven, and for the dews, and for the deep springs from beneath, and for the seasonable fruits of the sun, and for the coming together of the months, and for the heights of the everlasting mountains, and for the heights of the hills, and for the ever-flowing rivers, and for the fruits of the fatness of the earth. And let the things accepted by him who appeared in the bush come on the head and crown of Joseph. Let him be glorified among his brethren. His beauty is like the firstling of a bullock, his horns the horns of an unicorn. With these shall he push the nations from one end of the earth to another. Deuteronomy 33, verses 13 to 17. Now, no one could say or prove that the horns of an unicorn represent any other fact or figure than the type which portrays the cross. For the one beam is placed upright, from which the highest extremity is raised up into a horn, when the other beam is fitted onto it, and the ends appear on both sides as horns joined onto the one horn. And the part which is fixed in the center, on which are suspended those who are crucified, also stands out like a horn, and it also looks like a horn conjoined and fixed with the other horns. And the expression, "with these shall he push as with horns the nations from one end of the earth to another," is indicative of what is now the fact among all the nations. For some out of all the nations, through the power of this mystery, having been so pushed, that is, pricked in their hearts, have turned from vain idols and demons to serve God. But the same figure is revealed for the destruction and condemnation of the unbelievers. Even as Amalek was defeated and Israel victorious when the people came out of Egypt, by means of the type of the stretching out of Moses' hands and the name of Jesus, Joshua, by which the son of Nun, was called. And it seems that the type and sign which was erected to counteract the serpents which bit Israel was intended for the salvation of those who believed that death was declared to come thereafter on the serpent through him that would be crucified, but salvation to those who had been bitten by him and had betaken themselves to him that sent his son into the world to be crucified. For the spirit of prophecy by Moses did not teach us to believe in the serpent, since it shows us that he was cursed by God from the beginning, and in Isaiah tells us that he shall be put to death as an enemy by the mighty sword, which is Christ. Chapter 92. Unless the scriptures be understood through God's great grace, God will not appear to have taught always the same righteousness. Justin. Unless, therefore, a man by God's great grace receives the power to understand what has been said and done by the prophets, the appearance of being able to repeat the words or the deeds will not profit him if he cannot explain the argument of them. And will they not assuredly appear contemptible to many, since they are related by those who understood them not? For if one should wish to ask you why, since Enoch, Noah with his sons, and all others in similar circumstances, who neither were circumcised nor kept the Sabbath, pleased God, God demanded by other leaders and by the giving of the law after the lapse of so many generations, that those who lived between the times of Abraham and of Moses be justified by circumcision, and that those who lived after Moses be justified by circumcision and the other ordinances, to wit, the Sabbath, and sacrifices, and libations, and offerings, God will be slandered, unless you show, as I have already said, that God who foreknew was aware that your nation would deserve expulsion from Jerusalem, and that none would be permitted to enter into it. For you are not distinguished in any other way than by the fleshly circumcision, as I remarked previously. For Abraham was declared by God to be righteous, not on account of circumcision, but on account of faith. For before he was circumcised, the following statement was made regarding him: Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Genesis 15, verse 6. And we, therefore, in the uncircumcision of our flesh, believing God through Christ, and having that circumcision which is of advantage to us who have acquired it, namely that of the heart, we hope to appear righteous before and well-pleasing to God, since already we have received his testimony through the words of the prophets. And further, God will be slandered unless you show that you were commanded to observe the Sabbath and to present offerings, and that the Lord submitted to have a place called by the name of God, in order that, as has been said, you might not become impious and godless by worshipping idols and forgetting God, as indeed you do always appear to have been. Now that God enjoined the ordinances of Sabbaths and offerings for these reasons, I have proved in what I previously remarked, but for the sake of those who came today, I wish to repeat nearly the whole. For if this is not the case, God will be slandered, as having no foreknowledge, and as not teaching all men to know and to do the same acts of righteousness, for many generations of men appear to have existed before Moses, and the Scripture is not true, which affirms that God is true and righteous, and all his ways are judgments, and there is no unrighteousness in him. But since the Scripture is true, God is always willing that such even as you be neither foolish nor lovers of yourselves, in order that you may obtain the salvation of Christ, who pleased God and received testimony from him, as I have already said, by alleging proof from the holy words of prophecy. Chapter 93. The same kind of righteousness is bestowed on all. Christ comprehends it in two precepts. Justin. For God sets before every race of mankind that which is always and universally just, as well as all righteousness, and every race knows that adultery and fornication and homicide and such like are sinful. And though they all commit such practices, yet they do not escape from the knowledge that they act unrighteously whenever they so do, with the exception of those who are possessed with an unclean spirit and who have been debased by education, by wicked customs, and by sinful institutions, and who have lost, or rather quenched and put under, their natural ideas. For we may see that such persons are unwilling to submit to the same things which they inflict upon others, and reproach each other with hostile consciences for the acts which they perpetrate. And hence, I think that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ spoke well when he summed up all righteousness and piety in two commandments. They are these: You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Matthew 22, verse 37. For the man who loves God with all the heart and with all the strength, being filled with a God-fearing mind, will reverence no other God. And since God wishes it, he would reverence that angel who is beloved by the same Lord and God. And the man who loves his neighbor as himself will wish for him the same good things that he wishes for himself, and no man will wish evil things for himself. Accordingly, he who loves his neighbor would pray and labor that his neighbor may be possessed of the same benefits as himself. Now, nothing else is neighbor to man than that similarly affectioned and reasonable being, man. Therefore, since all righteousness is divided into two branches, namely, in so far as it regards God and men, whoever, says the Scripture, loves the Lord God with all the heart and all the strength, and his neighbor as himself, would be truly a righteous man. But you were never shown to be possessed of friendship or love, either towards God or towards the prophets or towards yourselves. But, as is evident, you are ever found to be idolaters and murderers of righteous men, so that you laid hands even on Christ himself. And to this very day you abide in your wickedness, execrating those who prove that this man who was crucified by you is the Christ. Nay, more than this, you suppose that he was crucified as hostile to and cursed by God, which supposition is the product of your most irrational mind. For though you have the means of understanding that this man is Christ from the signs given by Moses, yet you will not. But in addition, fancying that we can have no arguments, you put whatever question comes into your minds, while you yourselves are at a loss for arguments whenever you meet with some firmly established Christian. Chapter 94. In what sense he who hangs on a tree is cursed? Justin. For tell me, was it not God who commanded by Moses that no image or likeness of anything which was in heaven above or which was on the earth should be made, and yet who caused the brazen serpent to be made by Moses in the wilderness, and set it up for a sign by which those bitten by serpents were saved? Yet is he free from unrighteousness, for by this, as I previously remarked, he proclaimed the mystery, by which he declared that he would break the power of the serpent which occasioned the transgression of Adam, and would bring to them that believe in him who was foreshadowed by this sign, i.e., him who was to be crucified, salvation from the fangs of the serpent, which are wicked deeds, idolatries, and other unrighteous acts. Unless the matter be so understood, give me a reason why Moses set up the brazen serpent for a sign, and bade those that were bitten gaze at it, and the wounded were healed, and this too, when he had himself commanded that no likeness of anything whatsoever should be made. Another of those who came on the second day. You have spoken truly, we cannot give a reason. For I have frequently interrogated the teachers about this matter, and none of them gave me a reason. Therefore continue what you are speaking, for we are paying attention while you unfold the mystery on account of which the doctrines of the prophets are falsely slandered. Justin, just as God commanded the sign to be made by the brazen serpent, and yet he is blameless, even so, though a curse lies in the law against persons who were crucified, yet no curse lies on the Christ of God, by whom all that have committed things worthy of a curse are saved. Galatians 3, verse 13. Chapter 95. Christ took upon himself the curse due to us. Justin. For the whole human race will be found to be under a curse, for it is written in the law of Moses, "Cursed is everyone that continues not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them." Deuteronomy 27, verse 26. And no one has accurately done all, nor will you venture to deny this, but some more and some less than others have observed the ordinances enjoined. But if those who are under this law appear to be under a curse for not having observed all the requirements, how much more shall all the nations appear to be under a curse who practice idolatry, who seduce youths and commit other crimes? If, then, the Father of all wished his Christ for the whole human family to take upon him the curses of all, knowing that, after he had been crucified and was dead, he would raise him up, why do you argue about him, who submitted to suffer these things according to the Father's will, as if he were accursed, and do not rather bewail yourselves? For although his Father caused him to suffer these things in behalf of the human family, yet you did not commit the deed as in obedience to the will of God. For you did not practice piety when you slew the prophets, and let none of you say, if his Father wished him to suffer this, in order that by his stripes the human race might be healed, we have done no wrong. If indeed you repent of your sins and recognize him to be Christ and observe his commandments, then you may assert this, for, as I have said before, remission of sins shall be yours. But if you curse him and them that believe in him, and when you have the power put them to death, how is it possible that requisition shall not be made of you as of unrighteous and sinful men, altogether hard-hearted and without understanding, because you laid your hands on him? Chapter 96. That curse was a prediction of the things which the Jews would do. Justin. For the statement in the law, "Cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree," Deuteronomy 21. Verse 23 confirms our hope, which depends on the crucified Christ, not because he who has been crucified is cursed by God, but because God foretold that which would be done by you all, and by those like to you, who do not know that this is he who existed before all, who is the eternal priest of God, and King, and Christ. And you clearly see that this has come to pass. For you curse in your synagogues all those who are called from him Christians, and other nations effectively carry out the curse, putting to death those who simply confess themselves to be Christians, to all of whom we say, "You are our brethren," rather recognize the truth of God. And while neither they nor you are persuaded by us, but strive earnestly to cause us to deny the name of Christ, we choose rather and submit to death, in the full assurance that all the good which God has promised through Christ he will reward us with. And in addition to all this we pray for you, that Christ may have mercy upon you. For he taught us to pray for our enemies also, saying, "Love your enemies, be kind and merciful, as your heavenly Father is." Luke 6, verse 35. For we see that the Almighty God is kind and merciful, causing his Son to rise on the unthankful and on the righteous, and sending rain on the holy and on the wicked. All of whom he has taught us, he will judge. Chapter 97. Other predictions of the cross of Christ. Justin. For it was not without design that the prophet Moses, when Hur and Aaron upheld his hands, remained in this form until evening. For indeed the Lord remained upon the tree almost until evening, and they buried him at eventide. Then, on the third day, he rose again. This was declared by David thus, "With my voice I cried to the Lord, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me." And Isaiah likewise mentions concerning him the manner in which he would die, thus, "I have spread out my hands unto a people disobedient and gainsaying, that walk in a way which is not good," and that he would rise again. Isaiah himself said, "His burial has been taken away from the midst, and I will give the rich for his death." Isaiah 53, verse 9. And again, in other words, David in the 21st Psalm thus refers to the suffering and to the cross in a parable of mystery. "They pierced my hands and my feet. They counted all my bones. They considered and gazed on me. They parted my garments among themselves and cast lots upon my vesture. For when they crucified him, driving in the nails, they pierced his hands and feet. And those who crucified him parted his garments among themselves, each casting lots for what he chose to have, and receiving according to the decision of the lot." And this very psalm, you maintain, does not refer to Christ, for you are in all respects blind, and do not understand that no one in your nation who has been called king or Christ has ever had his hands or feet pierced while alive, or has died in this mysterious fashion, to wit by the cross, save this Jesus alone. Chapter 98. Predictions of Christ in Psalm 22. Justin: I shall repeat the whole psalm, in order that you may hear his reverence to the Father, and how he refers all things to him, and prays to be delivered by him from this death, at the same time declaring in the psalm who they are that rise up against him, and showing that he has truly become man capable of suffering. It is as follows. O God, my God, attend to me. Why have you forsaken me? The words of my transgressions are far from my salvation. O my God, I will cry to you in the daytime, and you will not hear, and in the night season, and it is not for lack of understanding in me. But you, the praise of Israel, inhabit the holy place. Our fathers trusted in you, they trusted, and you delivered them. They cried unto you and were delivered, they trusted in you, and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. All they that see me laughed me to scorn. They spoke with the lips, they shook the head. He trusted on the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him save him, since he desires him. For you are he that took me out of the womb, my hope from the breasts of my mother. I was cast upon you from the womb. You are my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many calves have compassed me, fat bulls have beset me round. They opened their mouth upon me, as a ravening and roaring lion. All my bones are poured out and dispersed like water. My heart has become like wax melting in the midst of my belly. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue has cleaved to my throat, and you have brought me into the dust of death. For many dogs have surrounded me. The assembly of the wicked have beset me round. They pierced my hands and my feet. They did tell all my bones. They did look and stare upon me. They parted my garments among them, and cast lots upon my vesture. But do not remove your assistance from me, O Lord. Give heed to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, and my only begotten from the hand of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, and my humility from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the church will I praise you. You that fear the Lord, praise him. All you, the seed of Jacob, glorify him. Let all the seed of Israel fear him. Chapter 99. In the commencement of the psalm are Christ's dying words. Justin: Now I will demonstrate to you that the whole psalm refers thus to Christ, by the words which I shall again explain. What is said at first, O God, my God, attend to me. Why have you forsaken me? Announced from the beginning that which was to be said in the time of Christ. For when crucified, he spoke, O God, my God, why have you forsaken me? And what follows? The words of my transgressions are far from my salvation. O my God, I will cry to you in the daytime, and you will not hear, and in the night season, and it is not for want of understanding in me. These, as well as the things which he was to do, were spoken. For on the day on which he was to be crucified, having taken three of his disciples to the hill called Olivet, situated opposite to the temple in Jerusalem, he prayed in these words, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Matthew 26, verse 39. And again he prayed, Not as I will, but as you will, showing by this that he had become truly a suffering man. But lest anyone should say he did not know then that he had to suffer, he adds immediately in the psalm, And it is not for want of understanding in me. Even as there was no ignorance on God's part when he asked Adam where he was, or asked Cain where Abel was, but it was done to convince each what kind of man he was, and in order that through the record of Scripture we might have a knowledge of all. So likewise, Christ declared that ignorance was not on his side, but on theirs, who thought that he was not the Christ, but fancied they would put him to death, and that he, like some common mortal, would remain in Hades. Chapter 100. In what sense Christ is called Jacob, and Israel, and Son of Man? Justin. Then what follows? But you, the praise of Israel, inhabit the holy place, declared that he is to do something worthy of praise and wonderment, being about to rise again from the dead on the third day after the crucifixion, and this he has obtained from the Father. For I have showed already that Christ is called both Jacob and Israel, and I have proved that it is not in the blessing of Joseph and Judah alone that what relates to him was proclaimed mysteriously, but also in the Gospel it is written that he said, All things are delivered unto me by my Father, and No man knows the Father but the Son, nor the Son but the Father, and they to whom the Son will reveal him. Matthew 11, verse 27. Accordingly he revealed to us all that we have perceived by his grace out of the Scriptures, so that we know him to be the first begotten of God, and to be before all creatures, likewise to be the son of the patriarchs, since he assumed flesh by the virgin of their family, and submitted to become a man without comeliness, dishonored, and subject to suffering. Hence also among his words, he said when he was discoursing about his future sufferings, The Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected by the Pharisees and scribes, and be crucified, and on the third day rise again. Matthew 16, verse 21. He said then that he was the Son of Man, either because of his birth by the Virgin, who was, as I said, of the family of David and Jacob, and Isaac, and Abraham, or because Adam was the father both of himself and of those who have been first enumerated from whom Mary derives her descent. For we know that the fathers of women are the fathers likewise of those children whom their daughters bear. For Christ called one of his disciples, previously known by the name of Simon, Peter, since he recognized him to be Christ the Son of God by the revelation of his Father, and since we find it recorded in the memoirs of his apostles that he is the Son of God, and since we call him the Son, we have understood that he proceeded before all creatures from the Father by his power and will. For he is addressed in the writings of the prophets in one way or another as wisdom, and the day, and the east, and a sword, and a stone, and a rod, and Jacob, and Israel, and that he became man by the Virgin, in order that the disobedience which proceeded from the serpent might receive its destruction in the same manner in which it derived its origin. For Eve, who was a virgin and undefiled, having conceived the word of the serpent, brought forth disobedience and death. But the Virgin Mary received faith and joy when the angel Gabriel announced the good tidings to her that the Spirit of the Lord would come upon her, and the power of the Highest would overshadow her. Wherefore also the holy thing begotten of her is the Son of God. And she replied, Be it unto me according to your word. Luke 1, verse 38. And by her has he been born, to whom we have proved so many scriptures refer, and by whom God destroys both the serpent and those angels and men who are like him, but works deliverance from death to those who repent of their wickedness and believe upon him. Chapter 1, 101. Christ refers all things to the Father. Justin. Then what follows of the psalm is this, in which he says, Our fathers trusted in you, they trusted, and you delivered them. They cried unto you and were not confounded, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. which show that he admits them to be his fathers, who trusted in God and were saved by him, who also were the fathers of the Virgin, by whom he was born and became man. And he foretells that he shall be saved by the same God, but boasts not in accomplishing anything through his own will or might. For when on earth he acted in the very same manner, and answered to one who addressed him as Good Master. Why do you call me good? One is good, my Father who is in heaven. But when he says, I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people, he prophesied the things which do exist and which happen to him. For we who believe in him are everywhere a reproach, despised of the people, for rejected and dishonored by your nation, he suffered those indignities which you planned against him. And the following, all they that see me laughed me to scorn. They spoke with the lips, they shook the head. He trusted in the Lord. Let him deliver him, since he desires him. This likewise he foretold should happen to him. For they that saw him crucified shook their heads, each one of them, and distorted their lips, and twisting their noses to each other, they spoke in mockery the words which are recorded in the memoirs of his apostles. He said he was the Son of God. Let him come down. Let God save him. Chapter 102. The prediction of the events which happened to Christ when he was born. Why God permitted it. Justin. And what follows? My hope from the breasts of my mother. On you have I been cast from the womb. From my mother's belly you are my God, for there is no helper. Many calves have compassed me. Fat bulls have beset me round. They opened their mouth upon me as a ravening and a roaring lion. All my bones are poured out and dispersed like water. My heart has become like wax melting in the midst of my belly. My strength has become dry like a potsherd, and my tongue has cleaved to my throat, foretold what would come to pass. For the statement, my hope from the breasts of my mother, is thus explained. As soon as he was born in Bethlehem, as I previously remarked, King Herod, having learned from the Arabian Magi about him, made a plot to put him to death. And by God's command, Joseph took him with Mary and departed into Egypt. For the Father had decreed that he whom he had begotten should be put to death, but not before he had grown to manhood and proclaimed the word which proceeded from him. But if any of you say to us, could not God rather have put Herod to death? I return answer by anticipation. Could not God have cut off in the beginning the serpent, so that he exist not, rather than have said, And I will put enmity between him and the woman, and between his seed and her seed? Genesis 3, verse 15. Could he not have at once created a multitude of men? But yet, since he knew that it would be good, he created both angels and men free to do that which is righteous, and he appointed periods of time during which he knew it would be good for them to have the exercise of free will. And because he likewise knew it would be good, he made general and particular judgments, each one's freedom of will, however, being guarded. Hence, Scripture says the following, at the destruction of the tower, and division, and alteration of tongues. And the Lord said, Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they have begun to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them of all which they have attempted to do. Genesis 11, verse 6. And the statement, My strength has become dry like a potsherd, and my tongue has cleaved to my throat, was also a prophecy of what would be done by him according to the Father's will. For the power of his strong word, by which he always confuted the Pharisees and scribes, and, in short, all your nation's teachers that questioned him, had a cessation like a plentiful and strong spring, the waters of which have been turned off when he kept silence, and chose to return no answer to anyone in the presence of Pilate, as has been declared in the memoirs of his apostles, in order that what is recorded by Isaiah might have efficacious fruit, where it is written, The Lord gives me a tongue, that I may know when I ought to speak. Isaiah 50, verse 4. Again, when he said, You are my God, be not far from me, he taught that all men ought to hope in God who created all things, and seek salvation and help from him alone, and not suppose, as the rest of men do, that salvation can be obtained by birth or wealth or strength or wisdom. and such have ever been your practices. At one time you made a calf, and always you have shown yourselves ungrateful, murderers of the righteous, and proud of your descent. For if the Son of God evidently states that he can be saved, neither because he is a son, nor because he is strong or wise, but that without God he cannot be saved, even though he be sinless, as Isaiah declares in words. To the effect that even in regard to his very language, he committed no sin, for he committed no iniquity or guile with his mouth. How do you or others who expect to be saved without this hope suppose that you are not deceiving yourselves? Chapter 1. 103. The Pharisees are the bulls. The roaring lion is Herod or the devil. Justin. Then what is next said in the psalm? For trouble is near, for there is none to help me. Many calves have compassed me. Fat bulls have beset me round. They opened their mouth upon me as a ravening and roaring lion. All my bones are poured out and dispersed like water, was likewise a prediction of the events which happened to him. For on that night when some of your nation, who had been sent by the Pharisees and scribes and teachers, came upon him from the Mount of Olives, those whom Scripture called budding and prematurely destructive calves surrounded him. And the expression, "fat bulls have beset me round," he spoke beforehand of those who acted similarly to the calves when he was led before your teachers. And the Scripture described them as bulls, since we know that bulls are authors of calves' existence. As therefore the bulls are the begetters of the calves, so your teachers were the cause why their children went out to the Mount of Olives to take him and bring him to them. And the expression, "for there is none to help," is also indicative of what took place. For there was not even a single man to assist him as an innocent person. And the expression, "they opened their mouth upon me like a roaring lion," designates him who was then king of the Jews and was called Herod, a successor of the Herod, who, when Christ was born, slew all the infants in Bethlehem born about the same time, because he imagined that among them he would assuredly be of whom the Magi from Arabia had spoken. For he was ignorant of the will of him that is stronger than all, how he had commanded Joseph and Mary to take the child and depart into Egypt, and there to remain until a revelation should again be made to them to return into their own country. And there they did remain until Herod, who slew the infants in Bethlehem, was dead, and Archelaus had succeeded him. And he died before Christ came to the dispensation on the cross, which was given him by his father. And when Herod succeeded, Archelaus, having received the authority which had been allotted to him, Pilate sent to him by way of compliment, Jesus bound. And God, foreknowing that this would happen, had thus spoken, "And they brought him to the Assyrian, a present to the king." Hosea 10, verse 6, or he meant the devil by the lion roaring against him, whom Moses calls the serpent, but in Job and Zechariah he is called the devil, and by Jesus is addressed as Satan, showing that a compounded name was acquired by him from the deeds which he performed. For Sada in the Jewish and Syrian tongue means apostate, and Naz is the word from which he is called by interpretation the serpent, i.e., according to the interpretation of the Hebrew term, from both of which there arises the single word Satanas. For this devil, when Jesus went up from the river Jordan, at the time when the voice spoke to him, "You are my son, this day have I begotten you," is recorded in the memoirs of the apostles to have come to him and tempted him, even so far as to say to him, "Worship me." And Christ answered him, "Get behind me, Satan, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Matthew 4, verses 9 and 10. For as he had deceived Adam, so he hoped that he might contrive some mischief against Christ also. Moreover, the statement, "All my bones are poured out and dispersed like water, my heart has become like wax melting in the midst of my belly," was a prediction of that which happened to him on that night when men came out against him to the Mount of Olives to seize him. For in the memoirs which I say were drawn up by his apostles and those who followed them, it is recorded that his sweat fell down like drops of blood while he was praying and saying, "If it be possible, let this cup pass." Luke 22. Verse 44, 42. His heart and also his bones trembling. his heart being like wax melting in his belly, in order that we may perceive that the Father wished his Son really to undergo such sufferings for our sakes, and may not say that he, being the Son of God, did not feel what was happening to him and inflicted on him. Further, the expression, "My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue has cleaved to my throat," was a prediction, as I previously remarked, of that silence, when he who convicted all your teachers of being unwise returned no answer at all. Chapter 1, 104. Circumstances of Christ's death are predicted in this psalm. Justin. And the statement, "You have brought me into the dust of death, for many dogs have surrounded me. The assembly of the wicked have beset me round. They pierced my hands and my feet. They did tell all my bones. They did look and stare upon me. They parted my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture," was a prediction, as I said before, of the death to which the synagogue of the wicked would condemn him, whom he calls both dogs and hunters, declaring that those who hunted him were both gathered together and assiduously striving to condemn him, and this is recorded to have happened in the memoirs of his apostles. And I have shown that after his crucifixion, they who crucified him parted his garments among them. Chapter 105. The psalm also predicts the crucifixion and the subject of the last prayers of Christ on earth. Justin. And what follows of the psalm? "But you, Lord, do not remove your assistance from me. Give heed to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, and my only begotten from the hand of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, and my humility from the horns of the unicorns," was also information and prediction of the events which should befall him. "For I have already proved that he was the only begotten of the Father of all things, being begotten in a peculiar manner word and power by him, and having afterwards become man through the Virgin, as we have learned from the memoirs. Moreover, it is similarly foretold that he would die by crucifixion. For the passage, 'Deliver my soul from the sword, and my only begotten from the hand of the dog, save me from the lion's mouth, and my humility from the horns of the unicorns,' is indicative of the suffering by which he should die, i.e., by crucifixion. For the horns of the unicorns, I have already explained to you, are the figure of the cross only. And the prayer that his soul should be saved from the sword and lion's mouth and hand of the dog was a prayer that no one should take possession of his soul, so that when we arrive at the end of life, we may ask the same petition from God, who is able to turn away every shameless evil angel from taking our souls. And that the souls survive, I have shown to you from the fact that the soul of Samuel was called up by the witch, as Saul demanded. And it appears also that all the souls of similar righteous men and prophets fell under the dominion of such powers, as is indeed to be inferred from the very facts in the case of that witch. Hence also God by his Son teaches us for whose sake these things seem to have been done, always to strive earnestly, and at death, to pray that our souls may not fall into the hands of any such power. For when Christ was giving up his spirit on the cross, he said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit," Luke 23, verse 46. As I have learned also from the memoirs, for he exhorted his disciples to surpass the Pharisaic way of living, with the warning that if they did not, they might be sure they could not be saved. And these words are recorded in the memoirs: "Unless your righteousness exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Matthew 5, verse 20. Chapter 106. Christ's resurrection is foretold in the conclusion of the psalm. Justin. The remainder of the psalm makes it manifest that he knew his Father would grant to him all things which he asked and would raise him from the dead, and that he urged all who fear God to praise him, because he had compassion on all races of believing men, through the mystery of him who was crucified, and that he stood in the midst of his brethren the apostles, who repented of their flight from him when he was crucified, after he rose from the dead, and after they were persuaded by himself that before his passion he had mentioned to them that he must suffer these things, and that they were announced beforehand by the prophets, and when living with them sang praises to God, as is made evident in the memoirs of the apostles. The words are the following: I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the church will I praise you. You that fear the Lord, praise him. All you, the seed of Jacob, glorify him. Let all the seed of Israel fear him. And when it is said that he changed the name of one of the apostles to Peter, and when it is written in the memoirs of him that this so happened, as well as that he changed the names of other two brothers, the sons of Zebedee, to Boanerges, which means sons of thunder. This was an announcement of the fact that it was he by whom Jacob was called Israel, and Oshea called Jesus, Joshua, under whose name the people who survived of those that came from Egypt were conducted into the land promised to the patriarchs, and that he should arise like a star from the seed of Abraham, Moses showed beforehand when he thus said, "A star shall arise from Jacob, and a leader from Israel." Numbers 24. Verse 17, and another scripture says, "Behold a man, the East is his name." Accordingly, when a star rose in heaven at the time of his birth, as is recorded in the memoirs of his apostles, the Magi from Arabia, recognizing the sign by this, came and worshipped him. Chapter 107. The same is taught from the history of Jonah. Justin. And that he would rise again on the third day after the crucifixion, it is written in the memoirs that some of your nation, questioning him, said, "Show us a sign." And he replied to them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign shall be given them, save the sign of Jonah." And since he spoke this obscurely, it was to be understood by the audience that after his crucifixion, he should rise again on the third day. And he showed that your generation was more wicked and more adulterous than the city of Nineveh. For the latter, when Jonah preached to them, after he had been cast up on the third day from the belly of the great fish, that after 40 days, they should all perish, proclaimed a fast of all creatures, men and beasts, with sackcloth, and with earnest lamentation, with true repentance from the heart, and turning away from unrighteousness, in the belief that God is merciful and kind to all who turn from wickedness, so that the king of that city himself, with his nobles also, put on sackcloth and remained fasting and praying, and obtained their request that the city should not be overthrown. But when Jonah was grieved that on the 43rd day, as he proclaimed, the city was not overthrown, by the dispensation of a gourd springing up from the earth for him, under which he sat and was shaded from the heat, now the gourd had sprung up suddenly, and Jonah had neither planted nor watered it, but it had come up all at once to afford him shade, and by the other dispensation of its withering away, for which Jonah grieved, God convicted him of being unjustly displeased because the city of Nineveh had not been overthrown, and said, "You have had pity on the gourd, for the which you have not labored, neither made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And shall I not spare Nineveh, the great city, wherein dwell more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle?" Chapter 108. The resurrection of Christ did not convert the Jews, but through the whole world they have sent men to accuse Christ. Justin. And though all the men of your nation knew the incidents in the life of Jonah, and though Christ said among you that he would give the sign of Jonah, exhorting you to repent of your wicked deeds at least after he rose again from the dead, and to mourn before God as did the Ninevites, in order that your nation and city might not be taken and destroyed as they have been destroyed. Yet you not only have not repented after you learned that he rose from the dead, but as I said before, you have sent chosen and ordained men throughout all the world to proclaim that a godless and lawless heresy had sprung from one Jesus, a Galilean deceiver, whom we crucified. But his disciples stole him by night from the tomb, where he was laid when unfastened from the cross, and now deceive men by asserting that he has risen from the dead and ascended to heaven. Moreover, you accuse him of having taught those godless, lawless, and unholy doctrines which you mention to the condemnation of those who confess him to be Christ, and a teacher from and son of God. Besides this, even when your city is captured and your land ravaged, you do not repent, but dare to utter imprecations on him and all who believe in him. Yet we do not hate you or those who by your means have conceived such prejudices against us, but we pray that even now all of you may repent and obtain mercy from God, the compassionate and long-suffering Father of all. Chapter 1, 109. The conversion of the Gentiles has been predicted by Micah. Justin. But that the Gentiles would repent of the evil in which they led erring lives when they heard the doctrine preached by his apostles from Jerusalem and which they learned through them, suffer me to show you by quoting a short statement from the prophecy of Micah, one of the 12 minor prophets. This is as follows. And in the last days the mountain of the Lord shall be manifest, established on the top of the mountains, it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall go and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob, and they shall enlighten us in his way, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many peoples, and shall rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into sickles. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. And each man shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and there shall be none to terrify. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it. For all people will walk in the name of their gods, but we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will assemble her that is afflicted, and gather her that is driven out, and whom I had plagued, and I shall make her that is afflicted a remnant, and her that is oppressed a strong nation. And the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth, and even forever. Chapter 110. A portion of the prophecy already fulfilled in the Christians. The rest shall be fulfilled at the second advent. Justin. Now I'm aware that your teachers, sirs, admit the whole of the words of this passage to refer to Christ, and I am likewise aware that they maintain he has not yet come, or if they say that he has come, they assert that it is not known who he is, but when he shall become manifest and glorious, then it shall be known who he is. And then, they say, the events mentioned in this passage shall happen, just as if there was no fruit as yet from the words of the prophecy. O unreasoning men! Understanding not what has been proved by all these passages, that two advents of Christ have been announced, the one in which he is set forth as suffering, inglorious, dishonored, and crucified, but the other in which he shall come from heaven with glory, when the man of apostasy, who speaks strange things against the Most High, shall venture to do unlawful deeds on the earth against us the Christians, who having learned the true worship of God from the law and the word which went forth from Jerusalem by means of the apostles of Jesus, have fled for safety to the God of Jacob and God of Israel. And we who were filled with war and mutual slaughter and every wickedness have each through the whole earth changed our warlike weapons, our swords into plowshares, and our spears into implements of tillage. And we cultivate piety, righteousness, philanthropy, faith, and hope, which we have from the Father himself, through him who was crucified, and sitting each under his vine, i.e., each man possessing his own married wife. For you are aware that the prophetic word says, And his wife shall be like a fruitful vine. Now it is evident that no one can terrify or subdue us who have believed in Jesus over all the world. For it is plain that, though beheaded and crucified and thrown to wild beasts and chains and fire and all other kinds of torture, we do not give up our confession. But the more such things happen, the more do others, and in larger numbers become faithful and worshippers of God through the name of Jesus. For just as if one should cut away the fruit-bearing parts of a vine, it grows up again and yields other branches flourishing and fruitful. Even so, the same thing happens with us. For the vine planted by God and Christ the Savior is his people. But the rest of the prophecy shall be fulfilled at his second coming. For the expression, he that is afflicted and driven out, i.e., from the world, implies that, so far as you and all other men have it in your power, each Christian has been driven out not only from his own property, but even from the whole world, for you permit no Christian to live, but you say that the same fate has befallen your own nation. Now, if you have been cast out after defeat in battle, you have suffered such treatment justly indeed, as all the Scriptures bear witness. But we, though we have done no such evil acts after we knew the truth of God or testified to by God, that, together with the most righteous and only spotless and sinless Christ, we are taken away out of the earth. For Isaiah cries, "Behold how the righteous perishes, and no man lays it to heart, and righteous men are taken away, and no man considers it." Isaiah 57, verse 1, chapter 111. The two Advents were signified by the two goats, other figures of the first Advent in which the Gentiles are freed by the blood of Christ. Justin. And that it was declared by symbol, even in the time of Moses, that there would be two Advents of this Christ, as I have mentioned previously, is manifest from the symbol of the goats presented for sacrifice during the fast, and again by what Moses and Joshua did, the same thing was symbolically announced and told beforehand. For the one of them, stretching out his hands, remained till evening on the hill, his hands being supported. And this reveals a type of no other thing than of the cross. And the other, whose name was altered to Jesus, Joshua, led the fight, and Israel conquered. Now this took place in the case of both those holy men and prophets of God, that you may perceive how one of them could not bear up both the mysteries. I mean, the type of the cross and the type of the name. For this is, was, and shall be, the strength of him alone, whose name every power dreads, being very much tormented because they shall be destroyed by him. Therefore, our suffering and crucified Christ was not cursed by the law, but made it manifest that he alone would save those who do not depart from his faith. And the blood of the Passover, sprinkled on each man's doorposts and lintel, delivered those who were saved in Egypt when the firstborn of the Egyptians were destroyed. For the Passover was Christ, who was afterward sacrificed, as also Isaiah said, "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter." Isaiah 53, verse 7. And it is written that on the day of the Passover you seized him, and that also during the Passover you crucified him. And as the blood of the Passover saved those who were in Egypt, so also the blood of Christ will deliver from death those who have believed. Would God, then, have been deceived if this sign had not been above the doors? I do not say that. But I affirm that he announced beforehand the future salvation for the human race through the blood of Christ. For the sign of the scarlet thread, which the spies, sent to Jericho by Joshua, son of Nun, gave to Rahab the harlot, telling her to bind it to the window through which she let them down to escape from their enemies, also manifested the symbol of the blood of Christ, by which those who were at one time harlots and unrighteous persons out of all nations are saved, receiving remission of sins and continuing no longer in sin. Chapter 1, 112. The Jews expound these signs jejunely and feebly, and take up their attention only with insignificant matters. Justin. But you, expounding these things in a low and earthly manner, impute much weakness to God if you thus listen to them merely and do not investigate the force of the words spoken. Since even Moses would in this way be considered a transgressor, for he enjoined that no likeness of anything in heaven or on earth or in the sea be made. And then he himself made a brazen serpent and set it on a standard and bade those who were bitten look at it, and they were saved when they looked at it. Will the serpent then, which, I have already said, God had in the beginning cursed and cut off by the great sword, as Isaiah says, Isaiah 27, verse 1, be understood as having preserved at that time the people, and shall we receive these things in the foolish acceptation of your teachers and regard them not as signs, and shall we not rather refer the standard to the resemblance of the crucified Jesus, since also Moses by his outstretched hands, together with him who was named Jesus, Joshua, achieved a victory for your people? For in this way we shall cease to be at a loss about the things which the lawgiver did, when he, without forsaking God, persuaded the people to hope in a beast through which transgression and disobedience had their origin. And this was done and said by the blessed prophet with much intelligence and mystery. And there is nothing said or done by any one of the prophets, without exception, which one can justly reprehend, if he possess the knowledge which is in them. But if your teachers only expound to you why female camels are spoken of in this passage, and are not in that, or why so many measures of fine flour and so many measures of oil are used in the offerings, and do so in a low and sordid manner, while they never venture either to speak of or to expound the points which are great and worthy of investigation, or command you to give no audience to us while we expound them, and to come not into conversation with us. Will they not deserve to hear what our Lord Jesus Christ said to them? Whited sepulchres, which appear beautiful outward, and within are full of dead men's bones, which pay tithe of mint and swallow a camel. You blind guides! If, then, you will not despise the doctrines of those who exalt themselves, and wish to be called Rabbi, Rabbi, and come with such earnestness and intelligence to the words of prophecy, as to suffer the same inflictions from your own people which the prophets themselves did, you cannot receive any advantage whatsoever from the prophetic writings. Chapter 113. Joshua was a figure of Christ. Justin. What I mean is this: Jesus, Joshua, as I have now frequently remarked, who was called Hoshea when he was sent to spy out the land of Canaan, was named by Moses Jesus, Joshua. Why he did this you neither ask nor at a loss about it, nor make strict inquiries. Therefore Christ has escaped your notice, and though you read, you understand not. And even now, though you hear that Jesus is our Christ, you consider not that the name was bestowed on him not purposelessly, nor by chance. But you make a theological discussion as to why one Alpha was added to Abraham's first name, and as to why one R.O. was added to Sarah's name. You use similar high-sounding disputations. But why do you not similarly investigate the reason why the name of Hoshea, the son of Nave, Nun, which his father gave him, was changed to Jesus, Joshua? But since not only was his name altered, but he was also appointed successor to Moses, being the only one of his contemporaries who came out from Egypt, he led the surviving people into the Holy Land. And as he, not Moses, led the people into the Holy Land, and as he distributed it by lot to those who entered along with him, so also Jesus the Christ will turn again the dispersion of the people, and will distribute the good land to each one, though not in the same manner. For the former gave them a temporary inheritance, seeing he was neither Christ who is God nor the Son of God, but the latter, after the holy resurrection, shall give us the eternal possession. The former, after he had been named Jesus, Joshua, and after he had received strength from his Spirit, caused the sun to stand still. For I have proved that it was Jesus who appeared to and conversed with Moses and Abraham and all the other patriarchs without exception, ministering to the will of the Father, who also, I say, came to be born man by the Virgin Mary and lives forever. For the latter is he after whom and by whom the Father will renew both the heaven and the earth. This is he who shall shine an eternal light in Jerusalem. This is he who is the king of Salem after the order of Melchizedek and the eternal priest of the Most High. The former is said to have circumcised the people a second time with knives of stone, which was a sign of this circumcision with which Jesus Christ himself has circumcised us from the idols made of stone and of other materials, and to have collected together those who were circumcised from the uncircumcision, i.e., from the error of the world, in every place by the knives of stone, to wit, the words of our Lord Jesus. For I have shown that Christ was proclaimed by the prophets in parables a stone and a rock. Accordingly, the knives of stone we shall take to mean his words, by means of which so many who were in error have been circumcised from uncircumcision with the circumcision of the heart, with which God by Jesus commanded those from that time to be circumcised who derived their circumcision from Abraham, saying that Jesus, Joshua, would circumcise a second time with knives of stone those who entered into that holy land. Chapter 1, 114. Some rules for discerning what is said about Christ. The circumcision of the Jews is very different from that which Christians receive. Justin. For the Holy Spirit sometimes brought about that something, which was the type of the future, should be done clearly. Sometimes he uttered words about what was to take place, as if it was then taking place, or had taken place. And unless those who read perceive this art, they will not be able to follow the words of the prophets as they ought. For example's sake, I shall repeat some prophetic passages that you may understand what I say. When he speaks by Isaiah, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter and like a lamb before the shearer. Isaiah 53, verse 7. He speaks as if the suffering had already taken place. And when he says again, I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and gainsaying people. Isaiah 65, verse 2. And when he says, Lord, who has believed our report? Isaiah 53, 1. The words are spoken as if announcing events which had already come to pass. For I have shown that Christ is oftentimes called a stone in parable, and in figurative speech, Jacob and Israel. And again, when he says, I shall behold the heavens, the works of your fingers. Unless I understand his method of using words, I shall not understand intelligently. But just as your teachers suppose, fancying that the Father of all, the unbegotten God, has hands and feet and fingers and a soul like a composite being, and they for this reason teach that it was the Father himself who appeared to Abraham and to Jacob. Blessed therefore are we who have been circumcised the second time with knives of stone, for your first circumcision was and is performed by iron instruments, for you remain hard-hearted. But our circumcision, which is the second, having been instituted after yours, circumcises us from idolatry and from absolutely every kind of wickedness by sharp stones, i.e., by the words preached by the apostles of the cornerstone cut out without hands. And our hearts are thus circumcised from evil, so that we are happy to die for the name of the good rock, which causes living water to burst forth for the hearts of those who by him have loved the Father of all, and which gives those who are willing to drink of the water of life. But you do not comprehend me when I speak these things, for you have not understood what it has been prophesied that Christ would do, and you do not believe us who draw your attention to what has been written. For Jeremiah thus cries, Woe unto you, because you have forsaken the living fountain, and have dug for yourselves broken cisterns that can hold no water. Shall there be a wilderness where Mount Zion is, because I gave Jerusalem a bill of divorce in your sight? Jeremiah 2, verse 13. Chapter 115. Prediction about the Christians in Zechariah. The malignant way which the Jews have in disputations. Justin. But you ought to believe Zechariah when he shows in parable the mystery of Christ and announces it obscurely. The following are his words. Rejoice and be glad, O daughter of Zion. For lo, I come, and I shall dwell in the midst of you, says the Lord, and many nations shall be added to the Lord in that day. And they shall be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of you, and they shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. And the Lord shall inherit Judah his portion in the Holy Land, and he shall choose Jerusalem again. Let all flesh fear before the Lord, for he is raised up out of his holy clouds. And he showed me Jesus, Joshua, the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord. And the devil stood at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said to the devil, The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Behold, is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Zechariah 2, verse 10 to 13, Zechariah 3, verses 1 and 2. As Trypho was about to reply and contradict me, I said, Wait and hear what I say first. For I am not to give the explanation which you suppose, as if there had been no priest of the name of Joshua, Jesus, in the land of Babylon, where your nation were prisoners. But even if I did, I have shown that if there was a priest named Joshua, Jesus, in your nation, yet the prophet had not seen him in his revelation, just as he had not seen either the devil or the angel of the Lord by eyesight, and in his waking condition, but in a trance, at the time when the revelation was made to him. But I now say that as Scripture said that the son of Nave, Nun, by the name Jesus, Joshua, wrought powerful works and exploits which proclaimed beforehand what would be performed by our Lord. So I proceed now to show that the revelation made among your people in Babylon in the days of Jesus, Joshua, the priest, was an announcement of the things to be accomplished by our priest, who is God, and Christ, the Son of God, the Father of all. Indeed, I wondered, why a little ago you kept silence while I was speaking, and why you did not interrupt me, when I said that the son of Nave, Nun, was the only one of contemporaries who came out of Egypt that entered the Holy Land, along with the men described as younger than that generation. For you swarm and light on sores like flies. For though one should speak 10,000 words well, if there happened to be one little word displeasing to you, because not sufficiently intelligible or accurate, you make no account of the many good words, but lay hold of the little word, and are very zealous in setting it up as something impious and guilty, in order that, when you are judged with the very same judgment by God, you may have a much heavier account to render for your great audacities, whether evil actions or bad interpretations which you obtain by falsifying the truth. For with what judgment you judge, it is righteous that you be judged withal. Chapter 116. It is shown how this prophecy suits the Christians. Justin. But to give you the account of the revelation of the Holy Jesus Christ, I take up again my discourse, and I assert that even that revelation was made for us who believe in Christ the High Priest, namely this crucified one. And though we lived in fornication and all kinds of filthy conversation, we have by the grace of our Jesus, according to his Father's will, stripped ourselves of all those filthy wickednesses with which we were imbued. And though the devil is ever at hand to resist us, and anxious to seduce all to himself, yet the angel of God, i.e., the power of God sent to us through Jesus Christ, rebukes him, and he departs from us. And we are just as if drawn out from the fire when purified from our former sins and rescued from the affliction and the fiery trial by which the devil and all his coadjutors try us, out of which Jesus, the Son of God, has promised again to deliver us and invest us with prepared garments if we do his commandments, and has undertaken to provide an eternal kingdom for us. For just as that Jesus, Joshua, called by the prophet a priest, evidently had on filthy garments because he is said to have taken a harlot for a wife, and is called a brand plucked out of the fire because he had received remission of sins when the devil that resisted him was rebuked. Even so we, who through the name of Jesus have believed as one man in God, the Maker of all, have been stripped, through the name of his first begotten Son, of the filthy garments, i.e., of our sins, and being vehemently inflamed by the word of his calling, we are the true high priestly race of God, as even God himself bears witness, saying that in every place among the Gentiles sacrifices are presented to him well-pleasing and pure. Now God receives sacrifices from no one except through his priests. Chapter 117. Malachi's prophecy concerning the sacrifices of the Christians. It cannot be taken as referring to the prayers of Jews of the dispersion. Justin. Accordingly, God, anticipating all the sacrifices which we offer through this name, and which Jesus the Christ enjoined us to offer, i.e., in the Eucharist of the bread and the cup, and which are presented by Christians in all places throughout the world, bears witness that they are well-pleasing to him. But he utterly rejects those presented by you and by those priests of yours, saying, "And I will not accept your sacrifices at your hands, for from the rising of the sun to its setting, my name is glorified among the Gentiles," he says, "but you profane it." Malachi 1, verses 10 to 12. Yet even now, in your love of contention, you assert that God does not accept the sacrifices of those who dwelt then in Jerusalem and were called Israelites, but says that he is pleased with the prayers of the individuals of that nation then dispersed, and calls their prayers sacrifices. Now that prayers and giving of thanks, when offered by worthy men, are the only perfect and well-pleasing sacrifices to God, I also admit. For such alone Christians have undertaken to offer, and in the remembrance effected by their solid and liquid food, whereby the suffering of the Son of God which he endured is brought to mind, whose name the high priests of your nation and your teachers have caused to be profaned and blasphemed over all the earth. But these filthy garments, which have been put by you on all who have become Christians by the name of Jesus, God shows shall be taken away from us, when he shall raise all men from the dead, and appoint some to be incorruptible, immortal, and free from sorrow in the everlasting and imperishable kingdom, but shall send others away to the everlasting punishment of fire. But as to you and your teachers deceiving yourselves, When you interpret what the scripture says as referring to those of your nation then in dispersion, and maintain that their prayers and sacrifices offered in every place are pure and well-pleasing, learn that you are speaking falsely and trying by all means to cheat yourselves. For first of all, not even now does your nation extend from the rising to the setting of the sun, but there are nations among which none of your race ever dwelt. For there is not one single race of men, whether barbarians or Greeks or whatever they may be called, nomads or vagrants or herdsmen living in tents, among whom prayers and giving of thanks are not offered through the name of the crucified Jesus. And then, as the scriptures show, at the time when Malachi wrote this, your dispersion over all the earth, which now exists, had not taken place. Chapter 1, 118. He exhorts to repentance before Christ comes, in whom Christians, since they believe, are far more religious than Jews. Justin. So that you ought rather to desist from the love of strife, and repent before the great day of judgment come, wherein all those of your tribes who have pierced this Christ shall mourn, as I have shown has been declared by the Scriptures. And I have explained that the Lord swore, after the order of Melchizedek, and what this prediction means, and the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, His burial is taken away from the midst. Isaiah 53, verse 8, I have already said, referred to the future, burying and rising again of Christ, and I have frequently remarked that this very Christ is the judge of all the living and the dead. And Nathan likewise, speaking to David about him, thus continued, I will be his father, and he shall be my son, and my mercy shall I not take away from him, as I did from them that went before him, and I will establish him in my house and in his kingdom forever. 2 Samuel 7, verse 14. And Ezekiel says, There shall be no other prince in the house but he. Ezekiel 44, verse 3. For he is the chosen priest and eternal king, the Christ, inasmuch as he is the Son of God, and do not suppose that Isaiah or the other prophets speak of sacrifices of blood or libations being presented at the altar on his second advent, but of true and spiritual praises and giving of thanks. And we have not in vain believed in him, and have not been led astray by those who taught us such doctrines. But this has come to pass through the wonderful foreknowledge of God, in order that we, through the calling of the new and eternal covenant, that is, of Christ, might be found more intelligent and God-fearing than yourselves, who are considered to be lovers of God and men of understanding, but are not. Isaiah, filled with admiration of this, said, And kings shall shut their mouths, for those to whom no announcement has been made in regard to him shall see, and those who heard not shall understand. Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Isaiah 52, verse 15, Isaiah 53, verse 1. And in repeating this, Trypho, as far as is allowable, I endeavor to do so for the sake of those who came with you today, yet briefly and concisely. Trypho, you do well, and though you repeat the same things at considerable length, be assured that I and my companions listen with pleasure. Chapter 1, 119. Christians are the holy people promised to Abraham. They have been called like Abraham. Justin, would you suppose, sirs, that we could ever have understood these matters in the Scriptures if we had not received grace to discern by the will of him whose pleasure it was? In order that the saying of Moses might come to pass, They provoked me with strange gods, they provoked me to anger with their abominations. They sacrificed to demons whom they knew not, new gods that came newly up, whom their fathers knew not. You have forsaken God that begot you, and forgotten God that brought you up. And the Lord saw, and was jealous, and was provoked to anger by reason of the rage of his sons and daughters. And he said, I will turn my face away from them, and I will show what shall come on them at the last, for it is a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their idols, and I will move them to jealousy with that which is not a nation. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish people. For a fire is kindled from mine anger, and it shall burn to Hades. It shall consume the earth in her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. I will heap mischief on them. Deuteronomy 32, verses 16 to 23. And after that righteous one was put to death, we flourished as another people, and shot forth as new and prosperous grain. As the prophet said, And many nations shall betake themselves to the Lord in that day for a people, and they shall dwell in the midst of all the earth. Zechariah 2, verse 11. But we are not only a people, but also a holy people, as we have shown already. And they shall call them the holy people, redeemed by the Lord. Isaiah 62, verse 12. Therefore we are not a people to be despised, nor a barbarous race, nor such as the Carian and Phrygian nations, but God has even chosen us, and he has become manifest to those who asked not after him. Behold, I am God, he says, to the nation which called not on my name. Isaiah 65, verse 1. For this is that nation which God of old promised to Abraham, when he declared that he would make him a father of many nations, not meaning, however, the Arabians or Egyptians or Idumeans, since Ishmael became the father of a mighty nation, and so did Esau, and there is now a great multitude of Ammonites. Noah, moreover, was the father of Abraham, and in fact of all men, and others were the progenitors of others. What larger measure of grace, then, did Christ bestow on Abraham? This, namely that he called him with his voice by the like calling, telling him to quit the land wherein he dwelt. And he has called all of us by that voice, and we have left already the way of living in which we used to spend our days, passing our time in evil after the fashions of the other inhabitants of the earth. And along with Abraham we shall inherit the Holy Land, when we shall receive the inheritance for an endless eternity, being children of Abraham through the like faith. For as he believed the voice of God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness, in like manner we, having believed God's voice spoken by the apostles of Christ and promulgated to us by the prophets, have renounced even to death all the things of the world. Accordingly, he promises to him a nation of similar faith, God-fearing, righteous, and delighting the Father. But it is not you, in whom is no faith. Chapter 1:120. Christians were promised to Isaac, Jacob, and Judah. Justin. Observe, too, how the same promises are made to Isaac and to Jacob. For thus he speaks to Isaac, And in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Genesis 26, verse 4. And to Jacob, And in you and in your seed shall all families of the earth be blessed. Genesis 28, verse 14. He says that neither to Esau nor to Reuben nor to any other, only to those of whom the Christ should arise, according to the dispensation, through the Virgin Mary. But if you would consider the blessing of Judah, you would perceive what I say, for the seed is divided from Jacob and comes down through Judah and Pharis and Jesse and David. And this was a symbol of the fact that some of your nation would be found children of Abraham and found too in the lot of Christ. But that others, who are indeed children of Abraham, would be like the sand on the seashore, barren and fruitless, much in quantity, and without number indeed, but bearing no fruit whatever, and only drinking the water of the sea. And a vast multitude in your nation are convicted of being of this kind, imbibing doctrines of bitterness and godlessness, but spurning the word of God. He speaks therefore in the passage relating to Judah, A prince shall not fail from Judah, nor a ruler from his thighs, till that which is laid up for him come, and he shall be the expectation of the nations. Genesis 49, verse 10. And it is plain that this was spoken not of Judah, but of Christ. For all we out of all nations do expect not Judah, but Jesus, who led your fathers out of Egypt. For the prophecy referred even to the advent of Christ, till he come for whom this is laid up, and he shall be the expectation of nations. Jesus came therefore, as we have shown at length, and is expected again to appear above the clouds, whose name you profane, and labor hard to get it profaned over all the earth. It were possible for me, sirs, to contend against you about the reading which you so interpret, saying it is written, Till the things laid up for him come, though the 70 have not so explained it, but thus, till he comes for whom this is laid up. But since what follows indicates that the reference is to Christ, for it is, and he shall be the expectation of nations, I do not proceed to have a mere verbal controversy with you, as I have not attempted to establish proof about Christ from the passages of Scripture which are not admitted by you, which I quoted from the words of Jeremiah the prophet, and Esdras, and David, but from those which are even now admitted by you, which had your teachers comprehended, be well assured they would have deleted them, as they did those about the death of Isaiah, whom you sawed asunder with a wooden saw. And this was a mysterious type of Christ being about to cut your nation in two, and to raise those worthy of the honor to the everlasting kingdom, along with the holy patriarchs and prophets. But he has said that he will send others to the condemnation of the unquenchable fire, along with similar disobedient and impenitent men from all the nations. For they shall come, he said, from the west and from the east, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. And I have mentioned these things, taking nothing whatever into consideration, except the speaking of the truth, and refusing to be coerced by anyone, even though I should be immediately torn in pieces by you. For I gave no thought to any of my people, that is, the Samaritans, when I had a communication in writing with Caesar, but stated that they were wrong in trusting to the magician Simon of their own nation, who, they say, is God above all power and authority and might. Chapter 121. From the fact that the Gentiles believe in Jesus, it is evident that he is Christ, and as they kept silence, I went on. Justin, the Scripture, speaking by David about this Christ, my friends, said no longer that in his seed the nations should be blessed, but in him. So it is here, his name shall rise up forever above the sun, and in him shall all nations be blessed. But if all nations are blessed in Christ, and we of all nations believe in him, then he is indeed the Christ, and we are those blessed by him. God formerly gave the Son as an object of worship, as it is written, but no one ever was seen to endure death on account of his faith in the Son. But for the name of Jesus, you may see men of every nation who have endured and do endure all sufferings, rather than deny him. For the word of his truth and wisdom is more ardent and more light-giving than the rays of the sun, and sinks down into the depths of heart and mind. Hence also the Scripture said, his name shall rise up above the sun. And again, Zechariah says, his name is the East. Zechariah 6, verse 12. And speaking of the same, he says that each tribe shall mourn. Zechariah 12, verse 12. But if he so shone forth and was so mighty in his first advent, which was without honor and comeliness and very contemptible, that in no nation he is unknown, and everywhere men have repented of the old wickedness in each nation's way of living, so that even demons were subject to his name, and all powers and kingdoms feared his name more than they feared all the dead, shall he not on his glorious advent destroy by all means all those who hated him and who unrighteously departed from him, but give rest to his own, rewarding them with all they have looked for? To us, therefore, it has been granted to hear and to understand and to be saved by this Christ and to recognize all the truths revealed by the Father. Wherefore he said to him, it is a great thing for you to be called my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and turn again the dispersed of Israel. I have appointed you for a light to the Gentiles, that you may be their salvation unto the end of the earth. Isaiah 49, verse 6, chapter 122. The Jews understand this of the proselytes without reason. Justin, you think that these words refer to the stranger and the proselytes, but in fact they refer to us who have been illumined by Jesus, for Christ would have borne witness even to them. But now you have become twofold more the children of hell, as he said himself. Matthew 23, verse 15. Therefore what was written by the prophets was spoken not of those persons but of us, concerning whom the Scripture speaks. I will lead the blind by a way which they knew not, and they shall walk in paths which they have not known. And I am witness, says the Lord God, and my servant whom I have chosen, Isaiah 42, verse 16, Isaiah 43, verse 10. To whom then does Christ bear witness? Manifestly to those who have believed. But the proselytes not only do not believe, but twofold more than yourselves blaspheme his name, and wish to torture and put to death us who believe in him, for in all points they strive to be like you. And again, in other words, he cries, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness, and will hold your hand, and will strengthen you, and will give you for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the eyes of the blind, to bring out the prisoners from their bonds. Isaiah 42, verse 6. These words, indeed, sirs, refer also to Christ and concern the enlightened nations. Or will you say again, he speaks to them of the law and the proselytes. Then some of those who had come on the second day cried out as if they had been in a theater. Trypho's companions. But what? Does he not refer to the law and to those illumined by it? Now these are proselytes. Justin, looking towards Trypho. No, since if the law were able to enlighten the nations and those who possess it, what need is there of a new covenant? But since God announced beforehand that he would send a new covenant and an everlasting law and commandment, we will not understand this of the old law and its proselytes, but of Christ and his proselytes, namely us Gentiles, whom he has illumined, as he says somewhere. Thus says the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard you, and in a day of salvation have I helped you, and I have given you for a covenant of the people, to establish the earth, and to inherit the deserted. Isaiah 49, verse 8. What then is Christ's inheritance? Is it not the nations? What is the covenant of God? Is it not Christ? As he says in another place, you are my son, this day have I begotten you. Ask of me, and I shall give you the nations for your inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. Chapter 1, 123. Ridiculous interpretations of the Jews. Christians are the true Israel. Justin. As, therefore, all these latter prophecies refer to Christ and the nations, you should believe that the former refer to him and them in like manner. For the proselytes have no need of a covenant, if, since there is one and the same law imposed on all that are circumcised, the Scripture speaks about them thus. And the stranger shall also be joined with them, and shall be joined to the house of Jacob. Isaiah 14, verse 1. And because the proselyte, who is circumcised that he may have access to the people, becomes like one of themselves, while we who have been deemed worthy to be called a people are yet Gentiles, because we have not been circumcised. Besides, it is ridiculous for you to imagine that the eyes of the proselytes are to be opened while your own are not, and that you be understood as blind and deaf while they are enlightened. And it will be still more ridiculous for you if you say that the law has been given to the nations, but you have not known it. For you would have stood in awe of God's wrath, and would not have been lawless wandering sons, being much afraid of hearing God always say, children in whom is no faith, and who are blind but my servants, and deaf but they that rule over them, and the servants of God have been made blind. You see often, but have not observed. Your ears have been opened, and you have not heard. Is God's commendation of you honorable? And is God's testimony seemly for his servants? You are not ashamed, though you often hear these words. You do not tremble at God's threats, for you are a people foolish and hard-hearted. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to remove this people, says the Lord, and I will remove them, and destroy the wisdom of the wise, and hide the understanding of the prudent. Isaiah 29, verse 14. Deservedly too, for you are neither wise nor prudent, but crafty and unscrupulous, wise only to do evil, but utterly incompetent to know the hidden counsel of God, or the faithful covenant of the Lord, or to find out the everlasting paths. Therefore, says the Lord, I will raise up to Israel and to Judah the seed of men and the seed of beasts. Jeremiah 31, verse 27. And by Isaiah he speaks thus concerning another Israel. In that day shall there be a third Israel among the Assyrians and the Egyptians, blessed in the land which the Lord of Sabaoth has blessed, saying, blessed shall my people in Egypt and in Assyria be, and Israel my inheritance. Since then, God blesses this people and calls them Israel and declares them to be his inheritance. How is it that you repent not of the deception you practice on yourselves, as if you alone were the Israel, and of execrating the people whom God has blessed? For when he speaks to Jerusalem and its environs, he thus added, "And I will beget men upon you, even my people Israel, and they shall inherit you, and you shall be a possession for them, and you shall be no longer bereaved of them." Ezekiel 36, verse 12. Trypho. What then? Are you Israel? And speaks he such things of you? Justin. If indeed we had not entered into a lengthy discussion on these topics, I might have doubted whether you asked this question in ignorance. But since we have brought the matter to a conclusion by demonstration and with your assent, I do not believe that you are ignorant of what I have just said, or desire again mere contention, but that you are urging me to exhibit the same proof to these men. And in compliance with the assent expressed in his eyes, I continued. Justin. Again in Isaiah, if you have ears to hear it, God, speaking of Christ in parable, calls him Jacob and Israel. He speaks thus, "Jacob is my servant, I will uphold him. Israel is my elect, I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall anyone hear his voice in the street. A bruised reed he shall not break, and smoking flax he shall not quench. But he shall bring forth judgment to truth. He shall shine, and shall not be broken, till he have set judgment on the earth. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust." Isaiah 42, verses 1 to 4. As therefore, from the one man Jacob, who is surnamed Israel, all your nation has been called Jacob and Israel, so we from Christ, who begot us unto God, like Jacob and Israel, and Judah, and Joseph, and David, are called and are the true sons of God, and keep the commandments of Christ. Chapter 124. Christians are the sons of God. And when I saw that they were perturbed because I said that we are the sons of God, I anticipated their questioning. Justin. Listen, sirs, how the Holy Ghost speaks of this people, saying that they are all sons of the Highest, and how this very Christ will be present in their assembly, rendering judgment to all men. The words are spoken by David, and are, according to your version of them, thus, "God stands in the congregation of gods, he judges among the gods. How long do you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Judge for the orphan and the poor, and do justice to the humble and needy. Deliver the needy, and save the poor out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither have they understood. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth shall be shaken." I said, "You are gods, and are all children of the Most High. But you die like men, and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all nations." But in the version of the 70 it is written, "Behold, you die like men, and fall like one of the princes," in order to manifest the disobedience of men, I mean of Adam and Eve, and the fall of one of the princes, i.e., of him who was called the serpent, who fell with a great overthrow, because he deceived Eve. But as my discourse is not intended to touch on this point, but to prove to you that the Holy Ghost reproaches men, because they were made like God, free from suffering and death, provided that they kept his commandments and were deemed deserving of the name of his sons, and yet they, becoming like Adam and Eve, work out death for themselves. Let the interpretation of the psalm be held just as you wish, yet thereby it is demonstrated that all men are deemed worthy of becoming gods and of having power to become sons of the Highest, and shall be each by himself judged and condemned like Adam and Eve. Now I have proved at length that Christ is called God. Chapter 125. He explains what force the word Israel has and how it suits Christ. Justin, I wish, sirs, to learn from you what is the force of the name Israel. And as they were silent, I continued, I shall tell you what I know, for I do not think it right when I know not to speak, or, suspecting that you do know, and yet from envy or from voluntary ignorance deceive yourselves, to be continually solicitous. But I speak all things simply and candidly, as my Lord said, a sower went forth to sow the seed, and some fell by the wayside, and some among thorns, and some on stony ground, and some on good ground. Matthew 13. Verse 3. I must speak then in the hope of finding good ground somewhere, since that Lord of mine, as one strong and powerful, comes to demand back his own from all, and will not condemn his steward if he recognizes that he, by the knowledge that the Lord is powerful and has come to demand his own, has given it to every bank and has not dug for any cause whatsoever. Accordingly, the name Israel signifies this, a man who overcomes power. For Israel is a man overcoming, and El is power. And that Christ would act so when he became man was foretold by the mystery of Jacob's wrestling with him who appeared to him, in that he ministered to the will of the Father, yet nevertheless is God, in that he is the first begotten of all creatures. For when he became man, as I previously remarked, the devil came to him, i.e., that power which is called the serpent and Satan, tempting him and striving to effect his downfall by asking him to worship him. But he destroyed and overthrew the devil, having proved him to be wicked, in that he asked to be worshipped as God, contrary to the Scripture, who is an apostate from the will of God. For he answers him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Matthew 4, verse 10. Then, overcome and convicted, the devil departed at that time. But since our Christ was to be numbed, i.e., by pain and experience of suffering, he made a previous intimation of this by touching Jacob's thigh and causing it to shrink. But Israel was his name from the beginning, to which he altered the name of the blessed Jacob when he blessed him with his own name, proclaiming thereby that all who through him have fled for refuge to the Father constitute the blessed Israel. But you, having understood none of this, and not being prepared to understand, since you are the children of Jacob after the fleshly seed, expect that you shall be assuredly saved. But that you deceive yourselves in such matters, I have proved by many words. Chapter 1, 126. The various names of Christ according to both natures, it is shown that he is God, and appeared to the patriarchs. Justin. But if you knew Trypho, who he is, that is called at one time the angel of great counsel, and a man by Ezekiel, and like the Son of Man by Daniel, and a child by Isaiah, and Christ and God to be worshipped by David, and Christ and a stone by many, and wisdom by Solomon, and Joseph and Judah, and a star by Moses, and the east by Zechariah, and the suffering one, and Jacob and Israel by Isaiah again, and a rod, and flower, and cornerstone, and Son of God, you would not have blasphemed him who is now come, and been born, and suffered, and ascended to heaven, who shall also come again, and then your 12 tribes shall mourn. For if you had understood what has been written by the prophets, you would not have denied that he was God, Son of the only unbegotten, unutterable God. For Moses says somewhere in Exodus the following, "The Lord spoke to Moses, and said to him, I am the Lord, and I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, being their God, and my name I revealed not to them, and I established my covenant with them." And thus again he says, "A man wrestled with Jacob," and asserts it was God, narrating that Jacob said, "I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." And it is recorded that he called the place where he wrestled with him, appeared to, and blessed him, the face of God, Peniel. And Moses says that God appeared also to Abraham near the oak in Mamre, when he was sitting at the door of his tent at midday. Then he goes on to say, "And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men stood before him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them." Genesis 18, verse 2. After a little, one of them promises a son to Abraham. Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, "Shall I of a surety bear a child, and I am old? Is anything impossible with God? At the time appointed I will return, according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." And they went away from Abraham. Again he speaks of them thus, "And the men rose up from thence, and looked toward Sodom." Genesis 18, verse 16. Then to Abraham he who was and is again speaks, I will not hide from Abraham my servant what I intend to do. Genesis 18, verse 17. And what follows in the writings of Moses I quoted and explained, from which I have demonstrated that he who is described as God appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and the other patriarchs, was appointed under the authority of the Father and Lord, and ministers to his will. Then I went on to say what I had not said before. And so, when the people desired to eat flesh, and Moses had lost faith in him, who also there is called the angel, and who promised that God would give them to satiety, he who is both God and the angel, sent by the Father, is described as saying and doing these things. For thus the Scripture says, And the Lord said to Moses, Will the Lord's hand not be sufficient? You shall know now whether my word shall conceal you or not. Numbers 11, verse 23. And again, in other words, it thus says, But the Lord spoke unto me, You shall not go over this Jordan. The Lord your God, who goes before your face, he shall cut off the nations. Chapter 127. These passages of Scripture do not apply to the Father, but to the Word. Justin. These and other such sayings are recorded by the lawgiver and by the prophets, and I suppose that I have stated sufficiently that wherever God says, God went up from Abraham, Genesis 18, verse 22, or the Lord spoke to Moses, Exodus 6, verse 29, and the Lord came down to behold the tower which the sons of men had built, Genesis 11, verse 5, or when God shut Noah into the ark, Genesis 7, verse 16. You must not imagine that the unbegotten God himself came down or went up from any place. For the ineffable Father and Lord of all neither has come to any place, nor walks, nor sleeps, nor rises up, but remains in his own place, wherever that is, quick to behold and quick to hear, having neither eyes nor ears, but being of indescribable might, and he sees all things and knows all things, and none of us escapes his observation, and he is not moved or confined to a spot in the whole world, for he existed before the world was made. How, then, could he talk with anyone, or be seen by anyone, or appear on the smallest portion of the earth, when the people at Sinai were not able to look even on the glory of him who was sent from him, and Moses himself could not enter into the tabernacle which he had erected when it was filled with the glory of God, and the priest could not endure to stand before the temple when Solomon conveyed the ark into the house in Jerusalem which he had built for it? Therefore neither Abraham, nor Isaac, nor Jacob, nor any other man saw the Father and ineffable Lord of all, and also of Christ, but saw him who was according to his will, his Son, being God, and the angel, because he ministered to his will, whom also it pleased him to be born man by the Virgin, who also was fire when he conversed with Moses from the bush. Since, unless we thus comprehend the Scriptures, it must follow that the Father and Lord of all had not been in heaven when what Moses wrote took place. And the Lord rained upon Sodom fire and brimstone from the Lord out of heaven. Genesis 19, verse 24. And again, when it is thus said by David, Lift up your gates, you rulers, and be lifted up, you everlasting gates, and the King of glory shall enter. And again, when he says, The Lord says to my Lord, Sit at my right hand, till I make your enemies your footstool. Chapter 1, 128. The Word is sent not as an inanimate power, but as a person begotten of the Father's substance, Justin. And that Christ being Lord, and God the Son of God, and appearing formerly in power as man, and angel, and in the glory of fire as at the bush, so also was manifested at the judgment executed on Sodom, has been demonstrated fully by what has been said. Then I repeated once more, all that I had previously quoted from Exodus about the vision in the bush and the naming of Joshua, Jesus, and continued, And do not suppose, sirs, that I am speaking superfluously when I repeat these words frequently, but it is because I know that some wish to anticipate these remarks and to say that the power sent from the Father of all which appeared to Moses or to Abraham or to Jacob is called an angel because he came to men, for by him the commands of the Father have been proclaimed to men, is called glory, because he appears in a vision sometimes that cannot be born, is called a man and a human being, because he appears arrayed in such forms as the Father pleases, and they call him the Word, because he carries tidings from the Father to men. But maintain that this power is indivisible and inseparable from the Father, just as they say that the light of the sun on earth is indivisible and inseparable from the sun in the heavens, as when it sinks, the light sinks along with it. So the Father, when he chooses, say they, causes his power to spring forth, and when he chooses, he makes it return to himself. In this way, they teach, he made the angels. But it is proved that there are angels who always exist and are never reduced to that form out of which they sprang, and that this power which the prophetic word calls God, as has been also amply demonstrated, and angel, is not numbered as different in name only like the light of the sun, but is indeed something numerically distinct, I have discussed briefly in what has gone before. When I asserted that this power was begotten from the Father, by his power and will, but not by abscission, as if the essence of the Father were divided, as all other things partitioned and divided are not the same after as before they were divided. And, for the sake of example, I took the case of fires kindled from a fire, which we see to be distinct from it, and yet that from which many can be kindled is by no means made less, but remains the same. Chapter 1, 129. That is confirmed from other passages of Scripture. Justin. And now I shall again recite the words which I have spoken in proof of this point. When Scripture says, "The Lord rained fire from the Lord out of heaven," the prophetic word indicates that there were two in number. One upon the earth, who, it says, descended to behold the cry of Sodom, another in heaven, who also is Lord of the Lord on earth, as he is Father and God, the cause of his power and of his being Lord and God. Again, when the Scripture records that God said in the beginning, "Behold, Adam has become like one of us," Genesis 3, verse 22. This phrase, "like one of us," is also indicative of number, and the words do not admit of a figurative meaning, as the sophists endeavor to affix on them, who are able neither to tell nor to understand the truth. And it is written in the Book of Wisdom, "If I should tell you daily events, I would be mindful to enumerate them from the beginning. The Lord created me, the beginning of his ways for his works. From everlasting he established me in the beginning, before he formed the earth, and before he made the depths, and before the springs of waters came forth, before the mountains were settled. He begets me before all the hills."
When I repeated these words, I added, "You perceive, my hearers, if you bestow attention, that the Scripture has declared that this offspring was begotten by the Father before all things created, and that which is begotten is numerically distinct from that which begets, anyone will admit." Chapter 130. He returns to the conversion of the Gentiles and shows that it was foretold. And when all had given assent, I said, "Justin, I would now adduce some passages which I had not recounted before. They are recorded by the faithful servant Moses in parable, and are as follows. Rejoice, O you heavens, with him, and let all the angels of God worship him." Deuteronomy 32, verse 43. And I added what follows of the passage. Rejoice, O you nations, with his people, and let all the angels of God be strengthened in him. For the blood of his sons he avenges, and will avenge, and will recompense his enemies with vengeance, and will recompense those that hate him. And the Lord will purify the land of his people. And by these words he declares that we, the nations, rejoice with his people, to wit, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the prophets, and, in short, all of that people who are well-pleasing to God according to what has been already agreed on between us. But we will not receive it of all your nation, since we know from Isaiah 66, verse 24, that the members of those who have transgressed shall be consumed by the worm and unquenchable fire, remaining immortal, so that they become a spectacle to all flesh. But in addition to these, I wish, sirs, to add some other passages from the very words of Moses, from which you may understand that God has, from of old, dispersed all men according to their kindreds and tongues, and out of all kindreds has taken to himself your kindred, a useless, disobedient, and faithless generation, and has shown that those who were selected out of every nation have obeyed his will through Christ, whom he calls also Jacob and names Israel. And these, then, as I mentioned fully previously, must be Jacob and Israel. For when he says, "Rejoice, O you nations, with his people," he allots the same inheritance to them and does not call them by the same name. But when he says that they, as Gentiles, rejoice with his people, he calls them Gentiles to reproach you. For even as you provoked him to anger by your idolatry, so also he has deemed those who were idolaters worthy of knowing his will and of inheriting his inheritance. Chapter 1, 131. How much more faithful to God the Gentiles are who are converted to Christ than the Jews. Justin. But I shall quote the passage by which it is made known that God divided all the nations. It is as follows: "Ask your father, and he will show you, your elders, and they will tell you, when the Most High divided the nations, as he dispersed the sons of Adam. He set the bounds of the nations according to the numbers of the children of Israel, and the Lord's portion became his people, Jacob, and Israel was the lot of his inheritance." The 70 have translated it, "He set the bounds of the nations according to the number of the angels of God," but because my argument is again in no wise weakened by this, I have adopted your exposition. And you yourselves, if you will confess the truth, must acknowledge that we, who have been called by God through the despised and shameful mystery of the cross, for the confession of which, and obedience to which, and for our piety, punishments even to death have been inflicted on us by demons and by the host of the devil through the aid ministered to them by you, and endure all torments rather than deny Christ even by word, through whom we are called to the salvation prepared beforehand by the Father, are more faithful to God than you, who were redeemed from Egypt with a high hand and a visitation of great glory, when the sea was parted for you, and a passage left dry, in which God slew those who pursued you with a very great equipment and splendid chariots, bringing back upon them the sea which had been made a way for your sakes, on whom also a pillar of light shone, in order that you, more than any other nation in the world, might possess a peculiar light, never failing and never setting. For whom he rained manna as nourishment, fit for the heavenly angels, in order that you might have no need to prepare your food, and the water at Marah was made sweet, and a sign of him that was to be crucified was made, both in the matter of the serpents which bit you, as I already mentioned. God, anticipating before the proper times these mysteries, in order to confer grace upon you, to whom you are always convicted of being thankless, as well as in the type of the extending of the hands of Moses and of Hosea being named Jesus, Joshua, when you fought against Amalek, concerning which God enjoined that the incident be recorded, and the name of Jesus laid up in your understandings, saying that this is he who would blot out the memorial of Amalek from under heaven. Now it is clear that the memorial of Amalek remained after the son of Nave, Nun. But he makes it manifest through Jesus, who was crucified, of whom also those symbols were foreannouncements of all that would happen to him, the demons would be destroyed, and would dread his name, and that all principalities and kingdoms would fear him, and that they who believe in him out of all nations would be shown as God-fearing and peaceful men. And the facts already quoted by me, Trypho, indicate this. Again, when you desired flesh, so vast a quantity of quails was given you, that they could not be told, for whom also water gushed from the rock, and a cloud followed you for a shade from heat, and covering from Colossians 500 verse, declaring the manner and signification of another and new heaven. The latchets of your shoes did not break, and your shoes grew not old, and your garments wore not away, but even those of the children grew along with them. Chapter 1, 132. How great the power was of the name of Jesus in the Old Testament. Justin. Yet after this you made a calf, and were very zealous in committing fornication with the daughters of strangers, and in serving idols. And again, when the land was given up to you with so great a display of power, that you witnessed the sun stand still in the heavens by the order of that man whose name was Jesus, Joshua, and not go down for 36 hours, as well as all the other miracles which were wrought for you as time served, and of these it seems good to me now to speak of another, for it conduces to your hereby knowing Jesus, whom we also know to have been Christ, the Son of God, who was crucified and rose again and ascended to heaven, and will come again to judge all men, even up to Adam himself. You are aware, then, that when the Ark of the Testimony was seized by the enemies of Ashdod, and a terrible and incurable malady had broken out among them, they resolved to place it on a cart to which they yoked cows that had recently calved, for the purpose of ascertaining by trial whether or not they had been plagued by God's power on account of the Ark, and if God wished it to be taken back to the place from which it had been carried away. And when they had done this, the cows, led by no man, went not to the place whence the ark had been taken, but to the fields of a certain man whose name was Hoshea, the same as his whose name was altered to Jesus, Joshua, as has been previously mentioned, who also led the people into the land and meted it out to them. And when the cows had come into these fields, they remained there, showing to you thereby that they were guided by the name of power, just as formerly the people who survived of those that came out of Egypt were guided into the land by him who had received the name Jesus, Joshua, who before was called Hoshea. Chapter 133. The hard-heartedness of the Jews, for whom the Christians pray. Justin. Now, although these and all other such unexpected and marvelous works were wrought among and seen by you at different times, yet you are convicted by the prophets of having gone to such a length as offering your own children to demons, and besides all this, of having dared to do such things against Christ, and you still dare to do them, for all which may it be granted to you to obtain mercy and salvation from God and his Christ. For God, knowing before that you would do such things, pronounced this curse upon you by the prophet Isaiah, "Woe unto their soul! They have devised evil counsel against themselves, saying, Let us bind the righteous man, for he is distasteful to us. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own doings. Woe to the wicked! Evil, according to the works of his hands, shall befall him. O my people, your exactors glean you, and those who extort from you shall rule over you. O my people, they who call you blessed cause you to err, and disorder the way of your paths. But now the Lord shall assist his people to judgment, and he shall enter into judgment with the elders of the people and the princes thereof. But why have you burnt up my vineyard? And why is the spoil of the poor found in your houses? Why do you wrong my people, and put to shame the countenance of the humble?" Isaiah 3, verses 9 to 15. Again, in other words, the same prophet spoke to the same effect. "Woe unto them that draw their iniquity as with a long cord, and their transgressions as with the harness of an heifer's yoke, who say, Let his speed come near, and let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel come, that we may know it. Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put light for darkness, and darkness for light, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes, and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto those that are mighty among you, who drink wine, who are men of strength, who mingle strong drink, who justify the wicked for a reward, and take away justice from the righteous. Therefore, as the stubble shall be burnt by the coal of fire, and utterly consumed by the burning flame, their root shall be as wool, and their flower shall go up like dust. For they would not have the law of the Lord of Sabaoth, but despise the word of the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. And the Lord of Sabaoth was very angry, and laid his hands upon them, and smote them. And he was provoked against the mountains, and their carcasses were in the midst like dung on the road. And for all this they have not repented, but their hand is still high." Isaiah 5, verses 18 to 25. "For verily your hand is high to commit evil, because you slew the Christ and do not repent of it. But so far from that, you hate and murder us who have believed through him in the God and Father of all, as often as you can. And you curse him without ceasing, as well as those who side with him, while all of us pray for you and for all men, as our Christ and Lord taught us to do, when he enjoined us to pray even for our enemies, and to love them that hate us, and to bless them that curse us." Chapter 1. 134. The marriages of Jacob, are a figure of the church. Justin, if then the teaching of the prophets and of himself moves you, it is better for you to follow God than your imprudent and blind masters, who even till this time permit each man to have 4 or 5 wives. And if anyone see a beautiful woman and desire to have her, they quote the doings of Jacob, called Israel, and of the other patriarchs, and maintain that it is not wrong to do such things, for they are miserably ignorant in this matter. For, as I before said, certain dispensations of weighty mysteries were accomplished in each act of this sort. For in the marriages of Jacob, I shall mention what dispensation and prophecy were accomplished, in order that you may thereby know that your teachers never looked at the divine motive which prompted each act, but only at the groveling and corrupting passions. Attend, therefore, to what I say. The marriages of Jacob were types of that which Christ was about to accomplish, for it was not lawful for Jacob to marry 2 sisters at once, and he serves Laban for one of the daughters, and being deceived in the obtaining of the younger, he again served 7 years. Now Leah is your people and synagogue, but Rachel is our church, and for these, and for the servants in both, Christ even now serves. For while Noah gave to the 2 sons the seed of the third as servants, now, on the other hand, Christ has come to restore both the free sons and the servants among them, conferring the same honor on all of them who keep his commandments, even as the children of the free women and the children of the bondwomen born to Jacob were all sons and equal in dignity. And it was foretold what each should be according to rank and according to foreknowledge. Jacob served Laban for speckled and many-spotted sheep, and Christ served, even to the slavery of the cross, for the various and many-formed races of mankind, acquiring them by the blood and mystery of the cross. Leah was weak-eyed, for the eyes of your souls are excessively weak. Rachel stole the gods of Laban, and has hid them to this day, and we have lost our paternal and material gods. Jacob was hated for all time by his brother, and we now, and our Lord himself, are hated by you and by all men, though we are brothers by nature. Jacob was called Israel, and Israel has been demonstrated to be the Christ, who is, and is called, Jesus. Chapter 135. Christ is King of Israel, and Christians are the Israelitic race. Justin. And when Scripture says, I am the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, who have made known Israel your King. Isaiah 43, verse 15. Will you not understand that truly Christ is the everlasting King? For you are aware that Jacob the son of Isaac was never a king. And therefore Scripture again, explaining to us, says what king is meant by Jacob and Israel. Jacob is my servant, I will uphold him, and Israel is my elect, my soul shall receive him. I have given him my spirit, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, and his voice shall not be heard without. The bruised reed he shall not break, and the smoking flax he shall not quench, until he shall bring forth judgment to victory. He shall shine, and shall not be broken, until he set judgment on the earth. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. Isaiah 42, verses 1-4. Then is it Jacob the patriarch in whom the Gentiles and yourselves shall trust? Or is it not Christ? As therefore Christ is the Israel and the Jacob, even so we who have been quarried out from the bowels of Christ are the true Israelitic race. But let us attend rather to the very word, and I will bring forth, he says, the seed out of Jacob and out of Judah, and it shall inherit my holy mountain, and mine elect and my servants shall possess the inheritance and shall dwell there. And there shall be folds of flocks in the thicket, and the valley of Achor shall be a resting place of cattle for the people who have sought me. But as for you, who forsake me, and forget my holy mountain, and prepare a table for demons, and fill out drink for the demon, I shall give you to the sword. You shall all fall with a slaughter, for I called you, and you hearkened not, and did evil before me, and did choose that wherein I delighted not. Isaiah 65, verses 9-12. Such are the words of Scripture. Understand, therefore, that the seed of Jacob now referred to is something else, and not, as may be supposed, spoken of your people. For it is not possible for the seed of Jacob to leave an entrance for the descendants of Jacob, or for God to have accepted the very same persons whom he had reproached with unfitness for the inheritance, and promise it to them again. But as there the prophet says, "And now, O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord, for he has sent away his people, the house of Jacob, because their land was full, as at the first, of soothsayers and divinations." Even so, it is necessary for us here to observe that there are two seeds of Judah and two races, as there are two houses of Jacob, the one begotten by blood and flesh, the other by faith and the Spirit. Chapter 136. The Jews, in rejecting Christ, rejected God who sent him. Justin. For you see how he now addresses the people, saying a little before, "As the grape shall be found in the cluster, and they will say, Destroy it not, for a blessing is in it, so will I do for my servant's sake, for his sake I will not destroy them all." And thereafter he adds, "And I shall bring forth the seed out of Jacob and out of Judah." It is plain, then, that if he thus be angry with them, and threaten to leave very few of them, he promises to bring forth certain others who shall dwell in his mountain. But these are the persons whom he said he would sow and beget. For you neither suffer him when he calls you, nor hear him when he speaks to you, but have done evil in the presence of the Lord. But the highest pitch of your wickedness lies in this, that you hate the righteous one, and slew him, and so treat those who have received from him all that they are and have, and who are pious, righteous, and humane. Therefore, woe unto their soul, says the Lord, Isaiah 3 verse 9. For they have devised an evil counsel against themselves, saying, Let us take away the righteous, for he is distasteful to us. For indeed, you are not in the habit of sacrificing to Baal, as were your fathers, or of placing cakes in groves and on high places for the host of heaven, but you have not accepted God's Christ. For he who knows not him knows not the will of God, and he who insults and hates him insults and hates him that sent him, and whoever believes not in him believes not the declarations of the prophets who preached and proclaimed him to all. Chapter 137. He exhorts the Jews to be converted. Justin. Say no evil thing, my brothers, against him that was crucified, and treat not scornfully the stripes wherewith all may be healed, even as we are healed. For it will be well if, persuaded by the Scriptures, you are circumcised from hard-heartedness, not that circumcision which you have from the tenets that are put into you. For that was given for a sign, and not for a work of righteousness, as the Scriptures compel you to admit. Assent, therefore, and pour no ridicule on the Son of God. Obey not the Pharisaic teachers, and scoff not at the King of Israel, as the rulers of your synagogues teach you to do after your prayers. For if he that touches those who are not pleasing Zechariah 2, verse 8 to God, is as one that touches the apple of God's eye, how much more so is he that touches his beloved? And that this is he has been sufficiently demonstrated. And as they kept silence, I continued, My friends, I now refer to the Scriptures as the 70 have interpreted them, for when I quoted them formerly as you possess them, I made proof of you to ascertain how you were disposed. For mentioning the Scripture, which says, Woe unto them! For they have devised evil counsel against themselves, saying, Isaiah 3 verse 9, as the 70 have translated, I continued, Let us take away the righteous, for he is distasteful to us. Whereas at the commencement of the discussion, I added what your version has, Let us bind the righteous, for he is distasteful to us. But you had been busy about some other matter, and seemed to have listened to the words without attending to them. But now, since the day is drawing to a close, for the sun is about to set, I shall add one remark to what I have said, and conclude. I have indeed made the very same remark already, but I think it would be right to bestow some consideration on it again. Chapter 1. 138. Noah is a figure of Christ who has regenerated us by water and faith and wood, i.e. the cross. Justin. You know then, sirs, that God has said in Isaiah to Jerusalem, I saved you in the deluge of Noah. By this which God said was meant that the mystery of saved men appeared in the deluge. For righteous Noah, along with the other mortals at the deluge, i.e., with his own wife, his three sons and their wives, being eight in number, were a symbol of the eighth day, wherein Christ appeared when he rose from the dead, forever the first in power. For Christ, being the firstborn of every creature, became again the chief of another race, regenerated by himself through water and faith and wood, containing the mystery of the cross, even as Noah was saved by wood when he rode over the waters with his household. Accordingly, when the prophet says, "I saved you in the times of Noah," as I have already remarked, he addresses the people who are equally faithful to God and possess the same signs. For when Moses had the rod in his hands, he led your nation through the sea. And you believe that this was spoken to your nation only, or to the land. But the whole earth, as the scripture says, was inundated, and the water rose in height 15 cubits above all the mountains, so that it is evident this was not spoken to the land, but to the people who obeyed him, for whom also he had before prepared a resting place in Jerusalem, as was previously demonstrated by all the symbols of the deluge. I mean, that by water, faith, and wood, those who are afore prepared, and who repent of the sins which they have committed, shall escape from the impending judgment of God. Chapter 1, 139. The blessings, and also the curse, pronounced by Noah were prophecies of the future. Justin. For another mystery was accomplished and predicted in the days of Noah, of which you are not aware. It is this: in the blessings wherewith Noah blessed his two sons, and in the curse pronounced on his son's son. For the spirit of prophecy would not curse the son that had been by God blessed along with his brothers. But since the punishment of the sin would cleave to the whole descent of the son that mocked at his father's nakedness, he made the curse originate with his son. Now, in what he said, he foretold that the descendants of Shem would keep in retention the property and dwellings of Canaan, and again, that the descendants of Japheth would take possession of the property of which Shem's descendants had dispossessed Canaan's descendants, and spoil the descendants of Shem even as they plundered the sons of Canaan. And listen to the way in which it is so come to pass. For you, who have derived your lineage from Shem, invaded the territory of the sons of Canaan by the will of God, and you possessed it. And it is manifest that the sons of Japheth, having invaded you in turn by the judgment of God, have taken your land from you and have possessed it. Thus it is written. And Noah awoke from the wine, and knew what his younger son had done unto him, and he said, "Cursed be Canaan the servant, a servant shall he be unto his brethren." And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. May the Lord enlarge Japheth, and let him dwell in the houses of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant." Genesis 9, verses 24 to 27. Accordingly, as two peoples were blessed, those from Shem and those from Japheth, and as the offspring of Shem were decreed first to possess the dwellings of Canaan, and the offspring of Japheth were predicted as in turn receiving the same possessions, and to the two peoples there was the one people of Canaan handed over for servants. So Christ has come according to the power given him from the Almighty Father, and summoning men to friendship and blessing and repentance and dwelling together, has promised, as has already been proved, that there shall be a future possession for all the saints in this same land. And hence, all men everywhere, whether bond or free, who believe in Christ and recognize the truth in his own words and those of his prophets, know that they shall be with him in that land, and inherit everlasting and incorruptible good. Chapter 1, 140. In Christ all are free. The Jews hope for salvation in vain, because they are sons of Abraham. Justin. Hence also Jacob, as I remarked before, being himself a type of Christ, had married the two handmaids of his two free wives, and of them begot sons, for the purpose of indicating beforehand that Christ would receive even all those who among Japheth's race are descendants of Canaan, equally with the free, and would have the children fellow heirs. And we are such. But you cannot comprehend this, because you cannot drink of the living fountain of God, but of broken cisterns which can hold no water, as the scripture says. Jeremiah 2, verse 13. But they are cisterns broken, and holding no water, which your own teachers have dug, as the scripture also expressly asserts, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Isaiah 29, Verse 13, "And besides, they beguile themselves and you, supposing that the everlasting kingdom will be assuredly given to those of the dispersion who are of Abraham after the flesh, although they be sinners, and faithless, and disobedient towards God, which the Scriptures have proved is not the case. For if so, Isaiah would never have said this. And unless the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we would have been like Sodom and Gomorrah." Isaiah 1, verse 9. And Ezekiel, "Even if Noah and Jacob and Daniel were to pray for sons or daughters, their request should not be granted. But neither shall the father perish for the son, nor the son for the father, but everyone for his own sin, and each shall be saved for his own righteousness." Ezekiel 18, verse 20. And again Isaiah says, "They shall look on the carcasses of them that have transgressed, their worm shall not cease, and their fire shall not be quenched, and they shall be a spectacle to all flesh." Isaiah 66, verse 24. And our Lord, according to the will of him that sent him, who is the Father and Lord of all, would not have said, "They shall come from the east and from the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness." Furthermore, I have proved in what has preceded that those who were foreknown to be unrighteous, whether men or angels, are not made wicked by God's fault, but each man by his own fault is what he will appear to be. Chapter 1, 141. Free will in men and angels. Justin. But that you may not have a pretext for saying that Christ must have been crucified, and that those who transgressed must have been among your nation, and that the matter could not have been otherwise, I said briefly by anticipation, that God, wishing men and angels to follow his will, resolved to create them free to do righteousness, possessing reason, that they may know by whom they are created, and through whom they, not existing formerly, do now exist, and with a law that they should be judged by him if they do anything contrary to right reason. And of ourselves, we, men and angels, shall be convicted of having acted sinfully, unless we repent beforehand. But if the word of God foretells that some angels and men shall be certainly punished, it did so because it foreknew that they would be unchangeably wicked, but not because God had created them so. So that if they repent, all who wish for it can obtain mercy from God, and the Scripture foretells that they shall be blessed, saying, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputes not sin," that is, having repented of his sins, that he may receive remission of them from God, and not as you deceive yourselves, and some others who resemble you in this, who say that even though they be sinners, but know God, the Lord will not impute sin to them. We have as proof of this the one fall of David, which happened through his boasting, which was forgiven then when he so mourned and wept, as it is written. But if even to such a man no remission was granted before repentance, and only when this great king and anointed one and prophet mourned and conducted himself so, how can the impure and utterly abandoned, if they weep not and mourn not and repent not, entertain the hope that the Lord will not impute to them sin? And this one fall of David, in the matter of Uriah's wife, proves, sirs, that the patriarchs had many wives, not to commit fornication, but that a certain dispensation and all mysteries might be accomplished by them. Since, if it were allowable to take any wife, or as many wives as one chooses, and how he chooses, which the men of your nation do over all the earth, wherever they sojourn, or wherever they have been sent, taking women under the name of marriage, much more would David have been permitted to do this. When I had said this, dearest Marcus Pompeius, I came to an end. Chapter 1, 142. The Jews return thanks and leave Justin. Trypho, after a little delay. You see that it was not intentionally that we came to discuss these points, and I confess that I have been particularly pleased with the conference, and I think that these are of quite the same opinion as myself, for we have found more than we expected and more than it was possible to have expected, and if we could do this more frequently, we should be much helped in the searching of the Scriptures themselves. But since you are on the eve of departure and expect daily to set sail, Do not hesitate to remember us as friends when you are gone.
Justin. For my part, if I had remained, I would have wished to do the same thing daily. But now, since I expect, with God's will and aid, to set sail, I exhort you to give all diligence in this very great struggle for your own salvation, and to be earnest in setting a higher value on the Christ of the Almighty God than on your own teachers. After this they left me, wishing me safety in my voyage, and from every misfortune. And I, praying for them, said, I can wish no better thing for you, sirs, than this, that recognizing in this way that intelligence is given to every man, you may be of the same opinion as ourselves, and believe that Jesus is the Christ of God.